Blog Talk Radio.
Staring right at the stars and they see, as if mankind's atrocities to man has no history. But just a glance at life at 2000 BC, we find traces of man's inhumanity to man. There's no mystery.
You. is one.
For those that have ears, let them hear. Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akam. Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akam. Praise the Most High for this very golden moment. I thank Him for keeping my eyes open when the enemy blinds and tries not to close them. Even though my heritage is stolen, I'm holding on to the word of the truth. It's about that time for us to wake up the youth, so they can realize what these false people do. Keep the Most High in your mind, He guides you. Praise the Most High, cause there's no one else above Him. Keep His Ten Commandments and laws if you love Him. Doing what you know is right in the name of Christ. Living in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost life. No longer in the flesh, my robe is all white. Temptation's trying to taint me, yeah right. Brothers and sisters, the time draws near. So for those that have ears, please let them hear. Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akar. Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akar.
But an angel's voice from heaven had the gospel that was preached, and they went home to earth until they gathered all the sheep. They went home to earth until His children should be sealed, and that wicked one, Satan, prince of darkness, is revealed. The truth is from the Father, His will is that we teach, that His people in the earth that were scattered and called elite, all the people of the Bible, they are kings and they are priests. Through the promises of Abraham, a land is what we see.
Israel.
It's a shame, it's a shame, my thoughts so cloudy in the words of the rain. I'm thirsty for the water, the truth is eternal, but the lies must shoulder.
You can't play both sides, you gotta cross the border.
Take my hand and we'll walk to the water.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, so we gotta spread this truth to the poor and the meek.
Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akar. 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 Shemaya Shirala Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Search Engine International here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Brother Gajo. Sorry we have been away for the past couple of weeks, traveling, moving, being that it was the holiday period for some people. Some of the guests cancelled out on us on the last minute. Tonight we do have a guest in the studio with us. We have Mr. Carl Richard. Joining me also is Elder Gabar. Over there in New York. Look about how you doing.
Shalom, brothers. How we doing tonight?
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. Back here. All praises to the Most High that we're here, able to do a show. And it should be a very interesting one tonight. We have a guest in the studio tonight, Mr. Carl Richard, who is a historian. And I'm going to bring him in just a second to let him, explain to everyone who he is, give us a brief rundown, and then go into some of the topics and questions that we have. Announcements I wanted to make is that for the United Kingdom, the date for Passover is ready. We're planning it now. If you're interested in coming into the Passover for the UK, send an email to gocc144uk@gmail.com. That is gocc144uk@gmail.com. And someone will get back to you. All right, the fee this year is going to be £25. Children under 12 come free. So as the shows go on, we'll put out more on that. Also, we do a Thursday night show in the UK on terrestrial radio, Peace FM, called The Raw Truth. So we'll send you also links for that. For that as well, and I'll announce these as we go on. As usual, we broadcast four or five times on Blog Talk Radio. On our Friday night, you have the Coming Out of Babylon show with Brother and Elder Omar. On a Sunday, you have the Hebrew Ways Life, if I'm calling it correctly, with Deacon Xavier. We have, there's an extra, but then, okay, on the Wednesday, we have the Search Engine International with myself, Ella Rakar, and also, we have, what else do we have? You know, I need to go back over my list. But anyways, should be a good show tonight. Let me go straight to the guest. I think he has limited time with us tonight, so without further ado, let me introduce him. Hello. Hello, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm going to hand the mic over to you and go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay, my name is Carl. It's actually pronounced Richard. It's a Cajun name. It looks like Richard. I'm a professor of history at University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Okay.
And much of my work has been on ancient Greece and Rome and on its influence in the West, especially in America.
Okay. I think the producer told me that you're also a Christian.
Yeah, yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got some questions here that we're gonna wanted to just you know, dabble into. But right now, I'm gonna hand it over to Elder Gabar. Elder Gabar.
Yes, sir. So, by the way, thank you for coming, Mr. Richards. You know, I know you're a busy man, so they told me you have limited time. So let's get right into it. Can you give us a quick brief history in how we could start, I guess, with Alexandria? Will you view that Alexandria the Great will be, I guess, the precursor of the Roman philosophy or way of life, or I'll be incorrect in believing that?
Well, the Romans got a lot of their culture from the Greeks in general. They certainly admired Alexander as a great general, but they got a lot of their culture from the Greeks in general.
Okay. Now, from my understanding, the concept of Greek and Roman, or Greco-Roman Empire as we know it, Was the Greek Empire, or I won't consider them, I don't know if that would be a right terminology to describe the Greeks, but the Greek people and the culture and the Roman people and their culture, do you believe that the Greco-Roman Empire, it was a merge of two cultures? Would that be something that you're right
to believe? Yes, I think so. I mean, I think the Romans came a little bit later. They conquered the Greeks. And they assimilated a lot of that Greek culture that had come before, but they kind of mixed with it a lot of their own cultural values. So, yeah, I would say it's sort of a combination of the two cultures.
Could you give us a historical – what was the Roman the Roman culture? What was the Greek culture's – In regards of that, and can you give me maybe an example of the difference of the two?
Sure. The Greeks came a little bit before the Romans in terms of their power. They started a lot of what is now, you know, Western thought, philosophy, historical writing, literature, art. A lot of that stuff really began for the West, anyway, with the Greeks. Romans came a little bit later. And they adopted a lot of that. I mean, in terms of their religion, for instance, they basically took the Greek gods and just changed their names. But it was the same Greek gods. Okay. But they had values of their own. They were a kind of a tough people. They were farmers. They were warriors. And so a lot of their culture was based on hard work, based on piety, you know, being religious, being frugal, you know, with their money, not spending too much money, just sort of a very tough-minded people. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were so successful. They admired all of the Greek learning, but they also brought to their empire those qualities of toughness and frugality and self-discipline and hard work and piety.
Okay, do take me back to Alexandra. I always felt that Alexander was a fascinating kind of man. I think he was the first Renaissance man that really thought outside the box. And from my perspective of Alexandra, is that he looked at the Greek culture, and my understanding that the Greek culture, they did not believe in having one king or one monarch or one royal family or some form of, you know, kingship. But they actually established kind of like a republic of different regions, different representatives representing that particular regions, coming together to protect their interests, but not having one particular leader. Is that a right? That's right assessment. That's a right assessment of the Greek culture from a political perspective.
Yes, yes. By the time of Alexander, which would be the 300s B.C., the Greeks, almost all of Greece were these little city-states that were republics. They didn't have kings. But Macedon, which is northern Greece, where Alexander came from, they did have kings.
Mm-hmm. So they did. So you said that the Greeks did have kings?
The Greeks did not. I mean, Macedonia did. It was sort of part Greek. I would say it was mostly Greek. Greek was their language.
Okay.
But they were a little different from the other Greeks, and one of the ways was that they did have a king.
Because my understanding, as you know, we are a church, and we want to confirm kind of the Bible through a historical perspective, and we like to bring in a different historians and different people from different disciplines to kind of confirm in regards of the spiritual, but also historical. So,
sure.
You know, from are you familiar with the Apocrypha in the Old Testament? It was a book several books that were removed from the Protestant Church. They actually mentioned about Alexander. He actually became the first king to rule over Greeks, but he himself, from my understanding, was not a native of Greece, but most of Mesopotamia, and that was his homeland. And the Greeks had more like a Latin dialect, which was associated to Greek. Would that be a fair assessment? How was he able to conquer Greece? Because he had a bigger army, or they kind of joined them? What was that history?
Yes. Well, it was there were a lot of different aspects to it. They did have a big military. They had cavalry because in northern Greece, Macedonia, where they were from, there was a lot of pasture land, which they didn't really have in southern Greece, so they had cavalry, which most of the southern Greeks didn't have. They couldn't support the horses. So they had some military advantages, but they were also very smart. I mean, Alexander's father, Philip, was the one who sort of organized the Greeks. He defeated them and organized them, and he was very smart. He would make an alliance with one city-state, and thus he would get his foot in the door, so to speak, just very shrewd the way he handled it. And finally, he won a big victory over the city-states that wouldn't join with them. And then he kind of forced them to join with him into a single kingdom. But then he was assassinated, and so Alexander, being his son, then became the king. And he decided, not only did he crush the rebellions that rose when his father was assassinated, but then he decided one way to unite the Greeks even more would be to invade the Persian Empire. And that's how he conquered his great empire, was by basically taking over the Persian Empire.
Did from my perspective, that Alexandra, he loved culture, preserving culture,
right.
And his attitude was, let's not destroy culture and force people to worship our gods, or force people to believe in what we believe, but let them live, only let their loyalty be to us. Would that be
right?
Would that consider revolutionary, you know, that time? Because, as you know, prior to him, you got the the Persians, you have the Babylonians, and their attitude was worship my God or worship me. You know, do you think that was his success, that he kind of was liberal in regards to religion?
Yeah, I think he was very smart the way he did it. He took a lot of the Persian leaders, and he gave them positions in his empire.
Mm-hmm.
So he was basically trying to join the Greeks and the Persian leaders together. And he actually had a lot of his own generals and so on. He kind of persuaded them or almost forced them to marry Persian women. Because he wanted and then have some of the Persian leaders marry Greek women. So he wanted to reconcile the Persians to his rule by letting them, you know, continue their culture. And the same thing in Egypt, you know, he conquered Egypt, mm-hmm. but he kept a lot of the practices there, the religious practices and so on, so that his successors who ruled Egypt, they were called the Ptolemies because the first one after him was Ptolemy, one of his mm-hmm. generals.
Yeah.
They kept a lot of that Egyptian religion and so on, and they tried even adopted a lot of practices, including marrying their own sisters and mm-hmm. some strange things, but also mm-hmm. a lot of other things, just so the people there would be content to be under their rule.
Mm-hmm. The Roman Empire, it's from... They have been known or believed to take many of the gods or traditions of the Egyptians. Do you believe that this is during the time of Palamine that the Romans kind of adopted the pharaohs kind of lifestyle and the Egyptians kind of lifestyle, or that was something that predated Ptolemy?
It really predated Ptolemy. But the Romans certainly got their gods from the Greeks. They just basically changed the names of them. But the Greeks, the real question is where the Greeks got their gods. And there's some people who believe that at least some of them came from Egypt.
Okay.
So it's not so much the Romans, it's the Greeks. But the Romans got theirs from the Greeks. So the question is, where did the Greeks get them?
Okay, and going, I want to go back to into the, how did America was influenced, or that history influence America, but who, from your perspective, who were the Greeks? From a racial perspective, were they Anglo-Saxon or people from Hindu? What's that word? I forget. Is it a European term? Aryan. Or were they a mixture of different tribes and people and culture? What's your perspective on the Greeks or the people that established the Greek Empire?
Well, of course, that's a big debate because the first tribes came in so early. It was around 1900 BC or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was not yet any writing, or at least any writing that we can decipher. And so we don't really know exactly what, you know, where they came from or what their culture exactly was.
Mm-hmm.
It's really open to debate because it was so early that the first people came in that we don't really know for sure.
And from your perspective, who you think they? Where do you think? Because it was always a mystery. We have our, I have my theories, but from your mm-hmm. perspective, who do you think they were, or where they came from?
I don't really know. I mean, I think that I don't know. I'm more interested in what we can tell for sure, from the documents and so on, which unfortunately that early we don't really have documents.
Exactly.
So I'm more concerned. I've always been more concerned really about culture than I am about race or ethnicity.
Okay.
Because I think it's really modern people are obsessed with race, but the ancient people really, they were not. They were obsessed mm-hmm. with culture. And so, for instance, when you read the Greeks and the Romans, they rarely, you know, they rarely get into race. It's more like culture. Like,
yeah.
For instance, Herodotus and the Greeks would say things like, they would write things like, we really admire those Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, you know, they're good warriors and they're tough and all these things that they liked about their culture. And it's kind of interesting, they hardly even mention the fact that they're black as opposed to white. They really didn't care, you know.
Yeah, it's a new term. That's a true. That from my studies, that really came after. Is it American culture? You're right. It is an American outlook on life. The ancient world didn't really look at color the way we look at it today. But let me read. Are you familiar with the work of by the author Martin Ben? Bernal,
yeah.
Black Athena. What's your perspective of his work?
Black Athena. Well, as I said earlier, I mean, it's very controversial because it's when any time you're writing about so early a period, you kind of become a detective, and you're basing your conclusions on not a lot of information, really,
mm-hmm.
And so, I've never really gotten involved in that argument because I don't think we really know, you know.
Okay.
And so I think he's got some interesting information. The people that disagree with him have some conflicting information. And I can't make a decision because there's not enough
there, in my
opinion. Yeah.
Okay. In regards of... Going back to Alexander and also the Roman Empire, do you believe that the Roman Empire was a continuation of what I consider Alexander to be the precursor of the Roman Empire, you know, the first spark of the Roman culture? Do you believe that it, by the time of the Roman Empire, after the four generals and the rise of Rome, do you believe that a change and the Roman Empire did collapse? And do you believe that it collapsed because it changed from its original principle, so to speak?
Oh, yes, I think so. I mean, if you look at why the Romans became so powerful, a lot of it had to do with their culture. And as I said, they believed in hard work. They believed in their gods, and they believed in being frugal, that is, not wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
All of these qualities that they had were the reason why they succeeded in conquering all of these other people. And then by the late empire, they had lost a lot of that. They had become kind of corrupt and in every sense. I mean, the government was corrupt, the people were corrupt in their personal lives, and so, you know, they lost their way, so to speak.
Politically, give me a scenario on the because my understanding, the Roman Empire, they had a Senate. The United States has a Senate.
Right.
You know, many of
Our Senate was named after their Senate.
Right. And which, can you give me some parallels today in regards of what America perhaps is doing wrong and regards in your perspective on Roman collapsing, you know, and there's different theories why it collapsed because it was expanding too quickly or, you know, excess, you know, the morality, you know, left or became less of. What is, can you give us, or I don't know if this is, political, you know, politics kind of, you know, difficult to kind of pare down, but some similarities of where America's going wrong in comparison and or parallel to the ancient Rome. Did you see it going to the right path in the same direction the ancient Rome went?
I think so, and you know, I mentioned the culture of the Romans. Americans started with a similar culture. I mean, we were mostly farmers, just like the Romans were mostly farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, as a result, I mean, people were hardworking. They were frugal. They were religious. I mean, the country was founded as a Christian nation
mm-hmm.
by people who were trying to escape persecution and establish their own religions here.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Romans were very religious, Americans are very religious to start out with. And then all of that has changed, I think, especially in the last, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years. And we see a decline in a lot of those values, especially, I think, a decline in religious belief and sexual behavior as a result of that, and a lot of different kinds of behavior. Greed and everything else.
So
that's one thing. And then, of course, there's economics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that happened with the Romans was they started spending so much money that they had to start devaluing the currency, inflating the currency.
And what were they spending money on? And conquering different countries and building these monuments and lifestyle, or a combination of three, what were they spending their money on?
It was a combination of things. They were spending a lot of money on the army, because the emperors, by then, they had gone from being a republic to being an empire, and they were ruled by dictators, by emperors, and that's one of the things that changed. And these emperors were, they needed to stay in power, they needed the support of the army.
And can you give I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you give us an example of difference for those who maybe probably don't know? What is the difference between a republic and an empire? What is the difference of those two type of disciplines?
Well, in the Roman Republic, more than one person had power. You had two consuls. Consuls were sort of like presidents. They had two of them, executives, you know. And then you had the Senate, which was the upper house of their legislature, and then you had a popular assembly, where the common people all had a vote in the popular assembly.
Okay.
And that was during the Republican period. That was a republic. What happened was these people, beginning with Julius Caesar, they overthrew the republic and they established an imperial form of government where you had only one leader who had all the power. He was absolute king, you might say, but they call them emperors. They call them emperors instead of kings, but it was the same thing. And the Senate was still in existence, but they didn't really do anything. You know, they just rubber stamped whatever the emperor told them they had to rubber stamp.
Right.
And so that was a big change in their government, one-man rule.
And how did the first Caesar got into power? What was the political – why would they give up and give somebody all this power when originally they said, you know what, balance of power is the best way to govern? How did that happen, if you don't mind?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, a lot of things happen, one of which I mentioned before is they lost their morality. You know, they became corrupt. And so there was a lot of corruption in the government, and people became disgusted with the corruption in the government. Also, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. And a lot of the poor farmers lost their land, basically, and they had to go and work in the city of Rome for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they no longer had economic power, they no longer had political power. And they began to follow men like Caesar, because Caesar was an aristocrat, but he presented himself as the champion of the lower classes.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, look, we've lost our farms. We're having to work for these rich people that don't care about us. Let's one-man rule doesn't sound too bad if that man supports us and helps us out.
So that's really what
Caesar did.
So Caesar kind of became like a public advocate. That's how he got started as a, similar to, I mean, I don't want to put the parallel, but like Obama, you know, a public advocate for the common man, and kind of,
right.
Would that be a good scenario to kind of just...
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and this is often the case in any republic, you're going to have basically political parties. And there was one party called the Populares, who were for the common man, and mm-hmm. then you had another party called the Optimates, who were for the aristocrats. And Caesar was one of the Populares, so so he had the support of the masses. And eventually what happens is there's a civil war. Mm-hmm. In fact, Rome actually had three different civil wars in the first century B.C., and hundreds of thousands of people were killed in the civil wars. And so at the end of, you know, Caesar ends up being assassinated, and then there's another civil war. And then his great nephew Augustus wins the last civil war,
mm-hmm.
and the people by then are so exhausted of constant civil war that they accepted his great nephew Augustus as the new emperor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of corruption and of inequality, mm-hmm. and you know, the poor being abused, and civil war.
Okay,
and so the people they're fed up with the republic. They say, okay, we'll follow this one guy so long as he gives us peace and, you know, a decent life.
From your perspective, the Caesar family, the first Caesar. I know from your perspective, who were they? What family they came from? Were they native to the country? What was their who were they?
Yes, Caesar was from an old Roman family. So, I mean, this was an aristocratic Roman family.
Okay.
But, and you know, all the political leaders in Rome were aristocrats because no common man could afford, it's kind of like politics today,
mm-hmm.
no common man could afford to run for these offices. I mean, it was, so even the so-called popular party,
mm-hmm.
The leaders were aristocrats. But Caesar mm-hmm. was smart enough to know that if he could rely on the common people, if he took their side,
mm-hmm.
he could rely on them, and then instead of just being one aristocrat, he would be one ruler, the single ruler.
Is it any true that he, I heard, it been confirmed that he took claim of being a descendant of Alexander the Great? Is there any truth to that?
I hadn't read that, but they all, you know, a lot of those people did actually claim to be descended from the gods.
Okay.
A lot of these aristocrats, and they claimed that was why they had all this money and all this power, was because they were descended from the gods. And Caesar's family claimed to be descended from Venus, the goddess of love, and so on.
Okay. So the Caesars and that reign began, and I believe there was 12 Caesars.
Well, there were more than that, but up until about 100 A.D., there were 12. You might say there were 12 in the first century.
Mm-hmm. And take me to, you know, the time, I believe, during the time of Christ, it was Augustus, correct?
Right. When he was born, when Jesus was born, yes.
It was Augustus. So this, when Christ was born, this is the beginning of when, within Rome, you know, we already had the Civil War. The first Caesar was murdered. His nephew, Augustus, got power, and during that political situation was born the Christ, the Messiah.
Right.
From that perspective, from prior to that, what was the Roman Empire's point of view on the Jews? That they had a decent relationship? That they had, you know, what was your perspective on the relationship from the Roman perspective, with the Jews?
The Romans didn't care for the Jews, but they tolerated them as long as they didn't rebel, as long as they paid their taxes and didn't rebel. They thought the Jews were strange because the Jews worshipped only one God.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothered the Romans was that, see, the Romans, not only did they believe in many gods, but they didn't believe that these gods were all-knowing. You could trick the gods. They didn't know everything. You could trick
okay.
them. And so they couldn't understand why they said, okay, look, we're willing to add this Jewish God to our list of gods and worship him along with all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't they worship our list? And their idea was even if they only believe in one God, the gods can't tell what you believe. They can't look inside your mind and tell what you believe. They just see what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as you do all these sacrifices and all that, they'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought, well, these Jews, to the Romans, they seem narrow-minded because they say, well, why don't they at least go through the motions of worshiping these other gods? They can believe whatever they want privately,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But just go ahead and worship so that these gods are appeased and they don't take it out on all of us.
Mm.
So they thought the Jews were strange. They didn't quite understand them, but they would tolerate them because they were ancient. The Romans respected anything that was ancient.
Okay.
And they said, these Jews have been around for thousands of years. They knew that this was an old civilization. And so they respected the antiquity of it.
Okay.
And they said, well, as long as they don't rebel, we'll leave them alone. But, of course, the Jews did rebel. And then that's when they had to crush or thought they had to crush that rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Did in regards of the, for my historical research, the Pharisees in the New Testament are not counted as, you know, as good guys. They're
right.
considered to be corrupt leaders,
right.
Pawns of the Romans. There's even a scripture that says that the Pharisees says that we allow this man Jesus to continue, that the Romans will come here to remove. They will take our position and our nation away from us.
Right.
So they were more political perspective.
Right.
Can from your perspective, can you go into the history on that, on the Pharisees? Who were they? What was their rise to power, so to speak, during the time of Christ or before it?
Yeah, the Pharisees were religious leaders. They were sort of teachers of the Old Testament. And they had gotten to be very wealthy and powerful and corrupt. And so they didn't want anything to overturn their position. They had it made, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus comes along, they get very concerned because he's doing all these miracles. And basically they're, you know, and this is why Jesus criticized them. They were phonies.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, they claimed to be supporters of the Old Testament and all in favor of the Old Testament. But the Old Testament said that a Messiah is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say this, but it was clear that they didn't really like that idea, because if a mm-hmm. Messiah came, then he would have the power.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to step aside.
They wanted to continue to be the religious leaders because that's how they got money and power.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really didn't want the Messiah to come.
Because they had it good. Now,
yeah.
where do you think the corruption came from? Because from my perspective, and I got many Jewish friends, and I talked to them, and there was always the big, what was the corruption? Or you know, from their point of view, they don't believe there was the Pharisees were corrupt. But from your perspective, did you think that King Herod had something to do with that? As you know, King Herod was the first, from my understanding, the first non-descendants of the tribe of Judah to sit in the king of the throne of David. He was actually Edomian, an Edomite.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe, in my understanding, as legend says, that the first order of business, when he got into power, he actually killed all the lineage of the Maccabeans, which are the Hasmoneans. And I think he married a princess, one of their princes, to kind of please them. Can you go into the history of King Herod? Who was he, and what part did he play during the time of Christ?
Well, King Herod the Great, as he was called, was a very capable but also very ruthless man who basically killed anybody who got in his way, including members of his own family. And he had the good fortune to become a friend very early of Augustus. And so when Augustus came to power, he trusted Herod. And so he is basically responsible for giving Herod his kingdom, or for, I don't know about giving him his kingdom, but certifying his kingdom. Because if the Romans said, no, we don't want you as the king of that place, then you weren't the king of that place, you know?
Yeah.
And so they certified him and backed him up. And he was king for many years, just as Augustus was emperor for many years. And there's no question he was one source of corruption, because he did have power over, for instance, choosing the high priest in Jerusalem and things like that. So naturally, he's going to choose people that are corrupt, that are willing, they're easily bought off, and so on.
Mm-hmm. There is, you know, now a new philosophy that is springing in YouTube, and I even seen different books, that the character Jesus, the actual historical man, never existed. Is a make believe. Is there any independent recorded writings, ancient writings, talking about the Jesus of the Bible, his movement outside of the Bible, from your perspective?
Yes. There's actually quite a lot. In fact, there's a lot more evidence that Jesus existed than Julius Caesar existed. I mean,
okay.
we have, first of all, before we get to the stuff outside the Bible, we have hundreds of manuscripts of the New Testament dating from the first century.
Hmm.
And so the idea that this, I mean, this was, we have things written at the time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that they would have created somebody, it's one thing if centuries later you create someone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to contradict you because they weren't around back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not create somebody at the time in which you're living and expect people to believe it when they lived in the same period and knew no such person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And if you compare it to most of what we know about Roman history, you know, if you look at how many copies do we have of Tacitus, the Roman historian, from the time in which he lived, which is about 100 AD, I think there are about 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So most of what these people accept as absolute truth, we only have a few manuscripts for.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to something that they refuse to believe, we have hundreds of manuscripts, and they refuse to believe it. So I mean,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make any sense. But you're right, there's stuff outside the Bible as well. I mentioned Tacitus. He mentioned Jesus. Josephus, who was the Jewish historian, mentioned
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different sources from the Romans themselves mentioning Jesus.
What is the because I heard that the Christians actually inserted the name Jesus in the book of Josephus. I don't know if you heard that rumor.
No, I hadn't heard that.
That passage of Jesus, when Josephus mentioned Jesus, and the argument they used is that, I don't know if you read the passage that says that that Jesus was more than a man, whether you could call him a man or something. He was a good man. He, you know, he talked to him
mm-hmm.
in a favorable manner, but yet Josephus was of the stock of the Pharisees. So how would a Pharisee talk about Jesus in a good light? What's your perspective on that? Those that say, well, that was inserted by Christians.
I think that's crazy, because we have copies, we have manuscripts from the time that it was written.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as though, you know, this was inserted later on. And Josephus doesn't say, I'm a Christian or I believe in Jesus. He just mm-hmm. mentions that he existed and that he was a good man and mm-hmm. so on. By the way, Josephus had some pretty critical things to say about the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders, even though he was from, he was, as you said, he was from a priestly family.
Mm-hmm.
He still was a pretty fair-minded person, and he had a lot of criticism for that class.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's my assessment, exactly. I think sometimes if you was a Jew during that time, by default, depending what area or region you were born in, you will be part of a Jewish sect because there was so
right.
much division even within the, right after Jesus Christ, and after his death and resurrection, and he, the religion or the church began years later, a few years later, not too many, there were even different sects within the Christian religion. When we go okay. into the book of Revelations, when Jesus visited John the Revelator in the Isle of Patmos, he was warning the different churches, the seven churches, and they were, being invaded by different doctrine and things of that nature.
Right.
From your perspective, I know you are a Roman historian, but can you go into the early church and what was the early church? What kind of doctrine they were teaching? Did the doctrine that we know today in modern time, does it reflect the early church? Is it the same? Is it different from your perspective? Do most Christian churches today follow a Christianity that was established by Christ?
It depends on the church. I think the only historical record we have for what the early church believed is the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we have hundreds of manuscripts of it dating from the first century, whereas if you look at those apocryphal books, the Gnostic Gospels and things
mm-hmm.
like that, they were all written later. We know mm-hmm. they were. There's evidence they were written 100 or 200 years later.
Yeah.
So they did a pretty good job of when they had those councils of deciding which books should be in the New Testament. They did a pretty good job of selection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's where we have to go if we want to know what the early church was like. And what we see is that they were meeting in houses or underground in
mm-hmm.
catacombs because they were persecuted.
Yeah.
And it was a very simple structure. As I said, they were meeting in houses or in catacombs, so not any big cathedrals or anything like that. Very simple, humble religion.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on faith in Jesus as being the main thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Over 2,000 years, you've had some denominations that have made a lot more out of it than what was there in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Could you go on the because we actually I actually did a lesson on the history of Christianity after Christ. Are you familiar with the book From Sabbath to Sunday by, I forget the author, Obici? The authorship of Obici leaves me. Are you familiar with that? With his work or that book?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, from your perspective, in the Bible we read, remember to keep the seventh day holy and rest.
Right.
Christians celebrate the first day, the risen of Christ, the day he was risen.
Right.
The Bible talks about Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, which is also called the Pentecost. And now we celebrate Easter, Christmas. From your perspective, who changed it, who was responsible, or what was the rationale for changing these feast days and these Sabbath and things of that nature from your perspective in the early church?
Well, in the case of the Sabbath, it was the reason why they began celebrating on Sunday was because that was the day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. But the apostles, they were Jews. They were, I guess, what we would call Messianic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but they still went to synagogue. I mean, they still went to the temple and sacrificed and so on. So, but it's pretty clear in the New Testament that they also met on Sundays, and they had a kind of a meal, which they called the agape, which is the Greek word for love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a gathering together to maybe sing some psalms, to have a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, the Lord's Supper. It's clear they said that was on the first day of the week. And, of course, Pentecost was the first day of the week when the Holy Spirit came down. That was first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how it got started.
Who was the first person or bishop that walked away? Do you believe, we do agree that the founders of Christianity, kind of kept more a Jewish tradition
mm-hmm.
Those feast days that were kept in the Old Testament.
Right.
Who was the person responsible? Because we even read even Paul, who was the disciple ordained to go to the Gentiles, that he, as was his custom, to go into the synagogue every Sabbath.
Right.
And we even, who do you know who was the person that said, you know what, I think we need to do something different and apart?
I don't know exactly if there was a single person. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Paul tells the Gentiles that you don't have to follow the old rules of Judaism, I think it's quite possible that those Gentile converts did not worship on Saturday. When he told them you don't have to do what the Jews do, mm-hmm. that may have been one thing that they stopped doing. They may have just Sunday.
Are you referring to, I think, Colossians 2 and 16? Let no man judge you in respect of a Sabbath or a new moon or a festival day?
Yeah,
from your perspective, because we had done that research as well, and we because Paul is one of the most controversial writers in Christianity, because
right.
many people said that he even some people in some churches that are messianic question Paul's writings because they feel that he was going to something different that the church was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? And then actually, we actually did one of my deacons in New York did a lesson on Paul, and he actually addressed that particular chapter. And that when you look at some of the words that Paul was using, he was using words that people that within the a Gnostic religion or philosophy would have known. And from the perspective was when you translate that particular verse was that he was telling his followers that you should not allow anybody to criticize you if you are eating and drinking on the Sabbath day or in the feast days, because there was an Gnostic philosophy rising up around that time that you should fast on the Sabbath day and in these feast days, and that's how you could achieve a greater level of spirituality, so to speak. And then I guess when in the translation that meaning was lost, so to speak, because we could see like many references, like in 1 Corinthians the sixth chapter, when in the ninth verse when Paul said, Christ our Passover, which is given for us. So let's keep the peace. Let's keep the feast. We're not with that old leaven, but that new leaven necessary. So he was actually addressing the actual feast day, that we should keep the feast with sincerity. you know, and so do you think maybe perhaps the and maybe this is not your level of expertise, that maybe there was the message was lost in the translation?
Well, of course, it's always possible. I mean, there are many different interpretations of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a single person, I mean, the only thing that I can think of is the Emperor Constantine, who was the first Christian emperor,
mm-hmm.
Sort of made Sunday into a kind of a public holiday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, he comes from Gentile Christianity. You know, he had no Jewish background at all. He was a Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that had some of had something to do with Sunday sort of becoming enshrined
mm-hmm.
as the Sabbath.
Yeah, because for my research, the earliest mention of Sunday worship was by Justin Martyr, Bishop Justin Martyr. Mm-hmm. And he is about 130 years after Christ. And that's the earliest mention of kind of pulling away from, and the biggest two, the first two major tradition was the Sabbath and the Passover. And they wanted to change it to the Easter. And so that was the first discussion of him debating. So I just wanted to get your perspective on that. I know
sure.
I have... I know there is many people online that will have to ask some questions. I see the queue here. So I don't know if you – will you be able to maybe take some questions?
Unfortunately, not very many because, as I told your producer, I'm supposed to go very shortly to teach a Bible study at my church tonight.
Okay. Would it be possible we could maybe take two questions before you go?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay. Okay, so let's bring in Sister Jenny has a question. Sister Jenny from South Carolina.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
I wanted to ask him, if Alexander was...
excuse me, Sister, I'm sorry. Could you put your mouth a little closer to the phone? We cannot hear you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Much better,
yes.
Much better.
Okay, if Alexander was teaching them to respect culture and the Romans was learning to respect culture from him, why didn't they respect us black people as being an ancient people and respect our culture?
But you heard the question, brother?
I didn't catch all of it.
What I said was if Alexander was teaching them to respect culture, and the Romans learned from Alexander to respect culture, why didn't they respect us black people as ancient people and respect our culture?
By them, you mean the Romans, or do you mean Westerners later on?
The Romans. I guess the question is if the Alexandria was big on preserving culture. I mean, the Alexandria Library in Egypt is the biggest mm-hmm. of the world. Why did the Romans, years later, did not respect ancient culture like the Hebrew Israelite culture?
Well, it depends on what you mean by respect. I mean, they had a certain respect for more ancient cultures like the Egyptians and the Hebrews, but they would not tolerate rebellion.
Okay.
And so where Israel got into trouble is in 66 A.D. they rebelled against the Romans, tried to become independent, and that's when the Romans came in and crushed them and moved them out, scattered the Jews.
So it was more like, listen, you can follow whatever you want to follow, just pay the taxes, give us some soldiers when we need some. And because from my perspective, when I and thank you, sister, for that question. The Romans, their ticket to fame was, listen, we're not going to destroy your culture. All we need is for you to give us money for us to ultimately protect your culture. So many people actually view like Alexander and people like as liberators, from my perspective, that, you know, hey, this is not that bad because we don't want another Nebuchadnezzar. We don't want another, you know, tyrant running around forcing us to, you know, follow his religion, you know, the Romans don't care. Do you think maybe that was like their secret of success to some degree?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, a lot of times when we talk about the Romans, we act like the people that they conquered before that were free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mostly they were not. I mean, they were subject to other people. And, of course, that's always one of the great strategies of any conqueror is mm-hmm. if you can get those people that are being abused by the people you're trying to conquer on your side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a good example of this, Cortez, a Spanish conqueror, landed in Mexico with about 600 men, and he conquered the whole Aztec Empire of
mm-hmm.
Central America. Now,
mm-hmm.
how did he do it? Well, he got all those people that the Aztecs had under them, that they
mm-hmm.
had oppressed. He
mm-hmm.
got them on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Romans would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you got to go. I just want to take
yeah.
one more question. And
sure.
Before you go, we have from area code 714. 714, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air, 714. Going once, going twice. Oh, okay. If anybody wants, please press 1 if anybody else wants to see a question. I see someone else here. Okay, we got area code 330. 330, you're on the air.
330? Hello?
Hello, hello, hi, you're on the air,
oh.
You're on live.
Okay, yes, hello to you and the guest. I just wanted to briefly ask the guest, I know that you said that there are many interpretations of the Bible, correct?
Yes, I mean, there are a lot of people that have arguments about this scripture and that scripture, yeah.
Okay, well, I just was wondering, in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, the chapter about speaking in tongues, it also mentions
right.
something along the lines like there are no separate interpretations or private interpretations of the Bible.
Right.
Well, I was just wondering how come that's not looked at, and I mean, that's New Testament, that's not Old Testament. Just wanted your perspective on that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think what Paul was trying to say was that clearly there is a truth. You know, today people say, well, that's your truth, it's not my truth. But there is a single truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Paul was trying to say. It's just that we human beings are, you know, we're not always able to agree on what it is. And
mm-hmm.
so I did not want to suggest that there isn't a correct answer. There is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that people have disagreed over it, and that's the nature of people to disagree, I guess.
Well, that was a great question, sister. And to yeah. follow up, do you believe that that truth was lost in the translation? And is it possible that us as Christians today in 2004 should maybe perhaps visit translations and understand that perhaps, you know, the original Bible, well, not the original, but the only Bible that was, at least in the New Testament, survived, and
right.
in its totality, was it written in Greek? Do you believe that most pastors and deacons and bishops in different churches who maybe study Greek and understand maybe from go to the horse's mouth, so to speak, rather just depending on different interpretation, different translation, because there's so many out there. Every year a new one comes
right.
up. Do you think that's
right.
why, as deacons and bishops, maybe we should be maybe study Greek, since that was, or more important, ancient Greek, because that's a difference as well. What's your perspective on that?
Yes and no. I mean, I spent years studying Greek, and I think it's a great thing to do, to go back to the original. So I think that's a great thing. Anybody who has the time and the ability to do it, I think that's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm reluctant to say that it's necessary, because most people don't have the time, don't have the training to do that. And I do believe that, you know, we serve a supernatural God. We have a Holy Spirit who's supernatural. And I think he can speak to us through the Bible with, as long as we have a decent translation,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us through any translation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you 100%, and I don't, I guess the question is, I was referring
right.
to actually the leader. So, I mean,
right.
we have, because we have had, you know, we study Greek and we study Hebrew at this church. Because
good.
We believe it's important to know those two languages because you can get the full answer. There's certain things within the translation that when you read it in different language, you don't get the same gusto, so to speak.
That's
you,
true.
You know, so
that's
so,
true.
So I was referring to the leadership, you know, that,
right.
that you know, because most – every time I went to – my father was a minister, Pentecostal, and –
right.
He spoke in Latin. He spoke in Spanish. That was, you know, his native language, and that's what I learned. I learned about Christ, you know, in the Spanish language before I learned it in the English language. So, but learning Greek and learning understanding and learning as an adult and having children of my own now, I realized that, you know, maybe as me now being a bishop of a church right now, I say, wait a minute, you know. As a leader, I should be. I think I should maybe not my congregation, but I believe the congregation trusts me that I'm bringing forth the truth as Paul was trying to say it, or as Christ or Peter or any of the
right.
apostles was trying to say it. So you know, I just want to get your point of view on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's why you know many different denominations have seminaries at which. You know, they expect that their ministers will learn Greek and Hebrew, and I think it's for that reason. I think
mm-hmm.
it makes a lot of sense.
Well, absolutely. You know, I would love to have you back and maybe, you know, discuss religion and history and Christ. I'm fascinated. I love history. I love the Bible. It's like a drug to me. I could always talk and debate about it all the time in love, of course, because that's the first principle. We have to do it in love and have that spirit of Christ,
right.
of meekness and things of that nature. So before you go, please tell us, do you have any particular website or any books that you may have or any particular, things
right.
that you may be involved with, that you know, those that want to know more about you?
Well, I think the two books that might interest most people, one of them is called 12 Greeks and Romans Who Changed the World.
Hmm.
And it's not only you know, the pagans, Greeks and Romans, but the last two Romans are Paul and Augustine, who were Christians.
Hmm.
'Cause Paul was a Roman citizen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Augustine. And the other book, more recent, is Why We're All Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how Rome influenced the whole Western world. And there's a chapter on Christianity in that, too.
Well, I'm going to get that book, and I'm going to read it, and I would love to have you back to discuss it.
Sure. Be glad
yeah.
to do it.
Yes. So once again, tell us the book, and both books, and is any you said you teach it, you're about to teach a biblical lesson. The name of your church, are you a bishop of a church or are you part of a church?
No, I'm a deacon in
okay.
the First Baptist Church of Youngsville, which is Youngsville is a little town near here. And tonight I'm talking about Colossians. We're doing a study of Colossians.
Hmm. Well, we would love to have you back to maybe go into a theological perspective. We like to always bring different preachers and ministers to discuss because I think most preachers and ministers are not talking with one another and
mm-hmm.
discussing. And everybody, you know, we feel we can learn. I clearly learned a lot tonight discussing to you, and I hope that people can also learn from us. So maybe one day you could have us back, and we could have you back, and maybe we could have a further spiritual. We
sure,
had a
I'd be glad to.
Yeah, it's spiritual. That's very important. But thank you once again, Mr. Richard. Any last words?
No, just I like what you said about love. That's the most important thing.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, Brother Gaja.
Shalom.
So, I think we got a little bit. I think, you know, I did not know he was a Christian from the perspective of actually being a bishop. You know, maybe next time we when we will have him on,
Yes.
We will have a more theologian discussion.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think it was extremely and that kind of confirmed, you know, what we basically believe historically in regards that the Romans were opportunists in the sense that they came up, and really when you going back into preserving culture and things of that nature, they really got that from the Greeks. And the Greeks, they were really Danites, the original Greeks, you know. And I know, you know, I touch on Black Athena, you know, the earliest imagery of Greeks were people of color, you know, and they did the when Alexandria came and conquered Greece, one of the things that he and conquering is probably a bad term, because really he convinced the Greeks, or he forced the Greeks to some degree. He gave them a what you would say a proposal they cannot refuse. And one of the proposals is, you got two choices. We could go to battle, or you could join us and we could fight against the Persians. As you know, the Persians, years before Alexander, actually fought against the Spartans. The Spartans were Greeks, or the Spartans were actually the military soldiers of the Greek culture, the Greek islands, and they were able to defeat the Persians. It's a debate on who won that battle, but because all the 300, the men, the 300, the story of the 300, they all died, but they were able, they depleted the Persian Empire so greatly that the Persians had to retreat and kind of reevaluate their strategy. And while they were doing that, thus rose Philip of Mesopotamia, then after that his son Alexandria, the Greek, or I won't say even the Greek because he was not a Greek, you know, and I won't say he was great because he was not great. Only Christ was great in the Most High. But they was never really able to conquer Greece the way they wanted to, because the 300 men who fought them, who were, a lot of them were Danites, and some Judah, but the majority of Danites, actually was able to steal them off. And then, so when Alexander came around, he kind of gave them the opportunity. He said, listen, if you join me, you'll be able to avenge your brothers, the 300s, the Spartans, and conquer, ultimately conquer. So Alexander actually won his victory through the help of the Spartans or the Greeks. So, you know, but he kind of confirmed a lot of that particular history. But, you know, let's see here. I see more calls. Maybe we could take some more phone calls. I see area code 480. 480, you're on the air. Hello. I hear myself. Okay, going once, going twice. All right. And please, if you are not want to call in or ask a question, please dial one. If you did dial one again. If you want to call in and ask a question, please, you could call 646-200-4309. That's 646-200-4309. Okay, let's go down the line here. We got area code 614. 614, you're on the air. Hello, 614, you're on the air.
Hello?
Okay. Hello, how are we doing, sister? You're on the air.
Yeah, I didn't mean to put myself in the queue. I'm sorry. I had you on speakerphone.
No problem, sister. Bless you.
Bless you.
Okay. Okay. So, Brother Gadget, so what is your perspective on the historical...
Yeah,
it came out today.
He came up with some stuff. He confirmed some stuff I already know, and he said some stuff that
was new to me. I need to go back and look into him. He mentioned Tacitus, Cornelius Tacitus. I am reading as we speak right now on him. I'll tell you the name of the book. The book I have right now is called the Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, Cornelius Tacitus, and he was a historian of the time. And he writes about Christ. He writes about what the Christians are doing. And the interesting thing about it is that you have a lot of people out there who like to say that Christ was invented by the Romans. In 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. When you go into Tacitus' writings here, it totally blows that theory out the window. You understand me? It gives reference to what was going on in the Book of Acts and how how the Jews rebelled. You understand me? It goes into when they were expelled from Rome because of the rebellion. It talks about Nero, about Vespasius and Titus, and talking about how Nero actually blamed the Israelites for burning Rome, you understand me, in 60 mm-hmm. AD. Mm-hmm. You understand me? So it goes to show you that the good thing about it is that it's an extra biblical, sorry, not biblical, it's a non-biblical reference to what we see written in the Acts of the disciples. You understand me? And it gives you the Roman perspective of it, showing you that the Romans were never with the Christians, are never with the Israelites. They hated them. You understand? He confirmed when he said that they wouldn't worship their gods. They call them crazy. They call them superstitious. You understand me? They refer to them as having a mysterious superstition, talking about the resurrection of the dead and what the Israelites actually believed in. You understand me? And we see here it gives reference to other sources as well that we can go into. And for the listeners, the book is called The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus. Okay, I bought this on Amazon for a penny, you know, so it's quite cheap. You understand me? But it's a good read, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, you know, doing research and doing history on that time and that period, we could clearly see that the Romans were... part of their success was their morality was not connected to their gods. What I'm saying is, they felt that we got to, and their perspective was, you know, remember when the Mr. Richard said they believe that gods, their gods in which they worship, you know, they could be tricked. You know, they don't know your heart or your mind. They cannot read your thoughts. So you could do certain things to make them see like you're worshiping them and you would get blessed by them and things of that nature. So that's extremely interesting because when you go into the scripture, when the 70 languages came down, or the 70 angels came down, and each angel took on a language that is going to be teaching the people. And then you got the fallen angels that started dealing with the different people learning the different languages. So with the understanding that Christ himself do not know the future, because he does not know when he's coming back. Because when the Jews asked him that, when will you be returned? He says, no one knows, not the angels, not myself, only the Father knows when I'm going to return. So if Christ did not know those things, and he is the only begotten of the Father, I could imagine these demonic forces in which these Romans were dealing with, which they call gods, the fallen angels, you understand, that they themselves could probably, there was probably some truth to that. That, you know, all you got to do is please these fallen angels or these gods, and you, they will grant you wishes.
Yes.
So when the Jews were worshiping the true, all-knowing, supreme God, they was like, okay, this is weird. This is not what we are used to, because we're used to,
it would be bad for business for them to worship the true God, because the true God knows us, so there's no fooling him. There's no hiding.
Exactly. So the, and especially with all the rules and regulations you have to follow to worship this God, you know. And I think I could perhaps see the threat behind worshiping the God of Israel. Think about it. Because this God knows all knowing. He has morals and standards you have to follow. If this particular theology takes on, it will ultimately become a threat. So this whole argument, and let me give you an example why Christianity, as Christ established it, now that's the modern day, was a bigger threat than Judaism. Let me try to give you an example. During the time of the Pharisees and during the time of, the Pharisaic order, most of the Jewish people today are following a corrupt version of Pharisaic tradition. And the Pharisaic tradition actually was corrupt even during the time of King Herod. He was the one that kind of corrupted that order, because the original order during the time of the Maccabees, that was the original order was established, which would consider the Pharisaic order. The Pharisaic order was corrupted by King Herod.
Would you not say based on Maccabees that the corruption started from in them times, when it tells you that the Jews made a covenant with Antiochus and the Senate to start change? Yeah, so it started, would you say it started more from then, from the Maccabean time, leading into the Herodian dynasty?
You are correct. You are correct, because when you read the book of Maccabees, there was a family, and I got to get that name, and there was a guy, but I forgot, I got to get his name as well, that he petitioned to the Romans.
Yes.
That, and he went to the Romans and he told them, listen, if you give me authority of the priesthood, I'll be able to remove these Maccabeans, troublemakers.
Yes.
So you are correct that the mystery of iniquity was already there during the time of the Maccabeans, but it was not able to truly be successful to King Herod, because King Herod linked up with those corrupt Jews and created the Pharisaic order. Now, the reason why the Pharisaic order was not a threat to the Roman Empire is because, according to the Pharisaic traditions, you were not allowed to proselyte people. What that means, you were not allowed to go out there and preach the Torah or teach the commandments that was given by the Most High to Moses. You was only allowed to teach people that came to you.
Yes.
So if with that law, which I believe that came through the corruption, that did not come through the Maccabeans. I believe that came through the corruption, and that law came in, I believe, and I'm trying to find the origin of that particular principle.
Right.
Because if you establish that, then the Roman Empire said, okay, these guys are not going to go around and proselytize people. They're not going to go. They're going to keep their religion to themselves. That's why when the Pharisees saw Christ going and speaking to the sinners, common folk, the tax collectors, the hookers, the prostitutes, the pimps, or the drug dealers, the drug addicts, and he said, you go on teaching sinners, that's against our traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect plan for the Romans to leave these Pharisaic people alone, because it was part of their traditions to not even proselytize different people. But the Christians, they were the opposite. They were like, no, we have to go out there and convert,
mm-hmm,
and preach the gospel and bring people back to the Torah, bring them back to the commandment of the Heavenly Father. And so they definitely was a more of a threat than the Jews that did not accept Christ, if we could understand that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm trying to find a chapter here in Maccabees where it actually tells you when they started it. And also like as you mentioned earlier before in the book of John 11, I think it is verse 47 on down, when it actually showed them that you know, the being a Pharisee was a money making venture. It was totally corrupt and wicked by the time the Messiah was on the scene.
Oh, absolutely. So it was a corrupt organization.
Yes.
They did not proselytize people, so the Romans could compartmentalize them in one area, so they don't have to worry about them. It was corrupt, and they kept it themselves. It was a perfect religion for the Romans. See, the teaching of Christ was go out through the whole world, teach the gospel. That's a threat to the Romans. That's why they had to shut it down. I truly believe that they did not. The Roman Empire was Christians was more of a threat than the actual Jews that did not accept Christ, because the actual Jews was accepting following a corrupt version of Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were no longer a threat. The Christians were following a true essence, the true teaching of the true Messiah, and that's why they had to be destroyed. They had to be conquered.
Definitely.
So absolutely. So, I think I see Elder Ricard here. I don't know if I'm calling the right number here. I know Ezariah. I think Elder Ricard is on the queue here. Let me bring him in.
Okay.
Elder Ricard, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Shalom, Elder. How we doing? How's everything?
I'm doing well. Took a little downtime for a little bit, but I'm back, and praise the Most High. Good to hear you all doing the work. And I would like to say hello to the esteemed guest this evening.
Well, he actually had to, because you only gave us an hour, and he went over the history of the Roman history and also in regards of the early church. But he's going to be coming back soon. He actually is a minister, and he's coming back to discuss, you know, more from a perspective of religious history and understanding. So, you know, next week hopefully he'll come back and we'll be able to bring him with that. We wanted to discuss, and there were several questions in regards of, and we would like to hear your perspective on the relationship between the Romans and the Pharisaic tradition or order that was established. Can you maybe perhaps expound on that, you know, or unless you want to, you know, focus on something else. I know you want to make some few announcements, some few things. I guess the floor is yours.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say all praises be to the Most High in the name of Messiah. And we all know that the Pharisaic sect under the Romans was totally infiltrated. The infiltrated started years before then under Antiochus Epiphanes when he first came into Israel and began to overtake the temple and put Gentiles over the temple opposed to the Most High chosen. And it tells you in the Apocrypha that they killed off all of them and just left one Levite there who could continue to conduct the the services, but the majority of the people that were operating in the temple were Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about somewhere around about 150 BC. So the Gentiles infiltrated a long time before that, and mainly not just the Gentiles. We're speaking about the children of Edom, the Edomites, the Idumeans. And then up until the time that Christ was on the earth, you had with Herod, who we all know was Edom. You understand? So the Pharisaical sect was entirely infiltrated by the time Christ was on the earth.
Mm.
So he wasn't just speaking to the majority of his people when he was looking at the Pharisees in the face and saying, "You of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. You won't be first from the beginning." Just like Cain killed his brother, Esau infiltrated, died in. They got in and got position to begin to look to destroy their brother Jacob, which are we. The question I wanted to ask, and I'm sorry I came in a little late this evening. I really wasn't going to come on tonight, but you all are doing such a great job. The question I wanted to ask him, and I didn't know if you had time to ask, who are the Romans today? Did you get an opportunity to run that question by him?
No, I did not. I did ask them who were the Caesars, what family they came from, what race or origin. Basically, what he stated was that they came from a rich family. They came from, you know, the side of the Romans or the Mesopotamian side. But other than that, he did not know much in regards of what racial background they came from.
Elder, when we're doing the research for the show to get him on as a guest, one of the things that we did find out in his research and all that, he parallels America a lot to Rome. So I think if we had asked the question, who is the Romans today, he'd probably tell you America. You understand me? You know, he paralleled a lot of what he was talking about, parallels America with Rome. But he said he will come back on for another discussion, you know, a more theological discussion. So maybe next time when he comes on, we could pose that question to him and see where it goes.
Okay, great.
Well, it was funny because I also mentioned that when we also discussed how was Caesar, the first Caesar, rose into power. And Caesar, which was someone which you would consider an organizer, someone that was part of the populist party for the people, for the working man. And he actually was... he didn't conquer. He was actually put in that position by the people because he was, began to talk about the people and the whole concept of property ownership and protecting the common folks. And it's funny, after he got back into power and his family became tyrants. And backstab the actual Romans or the people, the common folks within the Roman Empire. So it's kind of interesting how history repeats itself, you know, with these politicians that, you know, they always promise, you know, we're going to stop the war, you know, like Obama did. And even Obama, and I make, you know, the coalition between Obama was a neighborhood organizer. That was his thing. And, you know, when he ran for office, his thing was, I want to stop the war. I'm gonna, you know, a federal health plan. I want to do this, but when they get into power, you know, it's a different story. So it's funny how, you know, America is so parallel with the ancient Rome that it's beyond reasonable doubt it is ancient Rome. It is ancient Babylon. So
yeah, it is. It's modern day Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for him to come back on. I would definitely like to ask him a few questions. One thing for sure is that what they'll get you politically on the surface concerning Rome is not really the true understanding of it. Because Rome has had in the past an agenda of absorbing the world and bringing forth a world order.
Mm-hmm.
They also had an orchestrated plot against Jerusalem even before they was Rome, they were Greek. They were Greeks. You understand? And they had the same agenda under their father Esau or Edom.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to get that parallel out because that's who founded America. It wasn't just Rome that founded America. The prophets say Edom came to the Americas as quick as Edom fired. And I wanted to, you know, see if because usually when they go into Rome, they only go into secular history and politics and not really get to the root spirit of why they exist and what is their core agenda and what God is leading Rome, have always led Rome. So, you know, I would like to get into some of the paganism of Rome, Saturnalia, the gods they worship, and that links directly to ancient Babylon. And before that, it links back to ancient Egypt. Even before that, it links back to the Tower of Babel, which is a satanic religion. So there's so many facets we can hit for that. But I wanted to mention something real quick. That's why I came on in particular. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. The floor is yours, Elder.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say something, and I know that that Elder and brother Gaja told me don't even pay it any mind or whatever. You know, I'm not going to mention names or anything of that nature, but I wanted to talk real quick because you have people that are slandering, and I want to put that out there, and I'm saying that because someone sent something to my attention that someone claimed that we were 501c3 or what have you and try to link us to something in the 1990s. And even though I don't want to mention the person because I guess they're doing this to get attention, I just want to put it out there that there was no Gathering of Christ Church until 2007. And we are not 501c3. Neither will we ever become 501c3. I can't help what people do by putting a name in a search browser and trying to link us to everything with Gathering in its title.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the Gathering of Jesus Christ Church. I have no idea what that is. You understand? And what we have to do is, and I want to put it out there for brothers and sisters and say it again, you have to look at the agenda behind people who are just attacking and will blatantly lie. And saying this, it's not to bring forth truth or to bring something to light. It's to actually stump those who may be fairly young or have no understanding, you understand, just to put dirt out there to stop people from advancing spiritually and coming together.
So I just
want to put that out there, and I want brothers and sisters to know, listen, there's no way we can be 501c3. Number one, if you agree to be 501c3, you cannot speak about anything political. You cannot speak against homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, according to the Bible, that if they don't repent, they're going to get put to death, and that they are reprobate, and there's an agenda to kill and destroy our people through the whole homosexual movement.
Mm-hmm.
You can't speak of prophecies of the downfall of what we call America if you 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, no.
And which we do.
No. And this is what a lot of preachers out there that are 501c3, this is what they don't understand, is that you have the freedom of religion in your country if you live in America. You don't need to sign any tax status to do the work of the Most High. And I'm going to say this, speaking back in ancient Rome, speaking of the Pharisees and scribes, they were under the Roman hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be similar to or parallel to how today the preachers are being ran from government. 501c3 is a trap to take away your freedom of religion, and it makes it where you must cover your mouth, cover your eyes, and close your ears. And you cannot speak of prophecy concerning the country that will soon fall. And that's why the preachers have moved their doctrine from what Christ was speaking of into the prosperity movement doctrine, because they can't speak of what's really going on within government. Okay, that's why. So I want to put this out clear. The Gathering of Christ Church, us brethren, and you got brothers on the phone who know, we have Elder Gabar and others who know, that we have never and will never file 501c3. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to show you the venom and the evil of brothers that would do things like this. Will they go? Will they say, listen, I stand corrected. I really couldn't tie the Gavin of Christ Church or Ricard Shaw or his name or any of the brethren to this. I just did this by going on a browser. Will they come back and apologize and say, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm really dealing with some offense in myself or some type of ill in myself that's making me want to attack my brother. Will they come back like Christ say and just say, you know what, forgive me, I'm wrong? No. They will go from one point to the next. They'll go from one attack to the next attack to the next attack until they fall off and you don't hear about them no more. And I'm going to say this. I've seen these people attack, and we've been attacked since we've dealt with this truth from the beginning. And I'll tell you this. We've seen them come and go. Why? Because when others out there see that your core existence is to attack other people, they know that you're not of the Most High. They know that you're not trying to proclaim truth and bring people together. You're just here to tear down. They'll see it. And what will happen is they'll all come together in disagreement of the church. And their church will be just talking about the church to the point where if they can come against us and destroy their teacher, they end up fighting and destroying each other because that's their character.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Their character is to tear down and not to build. So what happens when you have no other people to attack? Because you can't attack us no more. We're going forward. You will attack the people in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just putting this out there for the brothers and sisters out there who may have ran into that garbage, because that's what it is. And I want to say this. We've done nothing to these people who are making these claims. Zero. A matter of fact, we have taught these people. We've extended ourselves to these people. Gabar, you baptized some of these people and under the church. And then they want to pull up the academy. Some of the people that are attacking the academy are the same people that got in the academy for free.
Mm-hmm.
They begged us, can they please come in? And we say, listen, brother, don't worry about it. Come on in. You don't have it. It's okay. So I'm just putting it out there so that brothers and sisters can actually see what's really going on with these brothers and sisters. They're slanderous. Like it says in the end time, perilous times will come. We'll be in perilous times where you have backbiters, haters of those that do the work of the Most High. Backbiters, haters. The only thing they'll do is backbite from behind because that's the only notoriety they can get. They can only get notoriety on the back and bones of other brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, you know, and I'm not going to put out my name. Everyone know who's doing these things, but I wanted to put it out there and let everyone know. Listen, brothers and sisters, we cannot be 501c3. Neither would we want to be 501c3. We could care less about some tax exemption to try to get some government subsidies. All right, we're proclaiming the truth throughout the four corners of the earth. Okay, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do some people help in sending donations and help us work? Exactly, they do this out of care and love so that we can continue because the word have done so much in their life. It helps them awaken and come back to the Most High. And they appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of people out there that are learning from the church and have learned from the church haven't sent us anything, haven't ever given us anything, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shame to see people with bold-faced lies sit there and pull up gathering and have us next to the Latter-day Saints and some Jesus Christ apostle. I'm like, what? This is madness. This is it's total madness. So I wanted to put that out there for brothers and sisters to know, listen, y'all don't have to worry about no 501c3 with us. We don't deal with that. But go ahead.
And also what I want to add, Elder, is that anybody, what people don't understand, is that it's against the commandment of the Most High. to speak against your elder. And what if that means? Whoever brought you into the truth and brought you into the level that you're at now, regardless whether you disagree or you come into a perspective that you feel you outlived this church or that elder, you should always keep that respect. That's the commandments. This is a commandment. Even when Paul was being accused by the Pharisees or the Jewish leaders or the Hebrewites, Israelites leaders at the time, and he said, I never talk negative against the leadership because it's against the commandment to speak against the leadership of our people. He was just doing the work and spreading the gospel that Christ is and was and always be the Messiah. So what people don't understand is that you're breaking Torah, you're breaking commandments when you go out and get taught by an organization, get taught by an elder, okay? And then once you disagree with that elder, you're talking to, you know, he's the worst thing ever. You're going against the commandments. When Paul was going against the Pharisaic order, he didn't start writing books about the Pharisees and how wicked they were. He just kept doing the work because he was called by the Christ to say, now you're going to do my work. See, people focus on, if that's why I tell, you know, I had a conversation to order, brother. So listen, if you got a situation that that's what the Most High is calling for you to do, do it. But you don't have to go and speak negative about the elders, the elders or the kings or the elders of our people. That's against the commandments. That's why you would never hear me talk about negative about the elders that brought me into the truth back in the day, because they brought me to some level of spirituality that I always got to give them respect for.
Well, let me say this real quick. The reason why they feel they have to, and brothers and sisters need to examine this. If you ever run into these slanderers, look at the views of their videos when they're bringing something, when they claim to be bringing something, and look at the views on them when they are bringing something against the church, and you'll understand why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to fuel something to get some notoriety for a moment, and then it dies back down. Then mm-hmm. it'd be like, okay, let us make another Gathering of Christ church video because no one is listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if I put Gathering of Christ church or convince someone who was with the church of my madness and have them next to me and bring this mess, then maybe I'll get some notoriety or some respect. And see, that's the reason they do it. And the example I can give, and I'm going to go into scripture in a second when it talks about in the end time, when it talks about the perilous time, about there'll be backbiters in perilous times. What you have to realize, and I've been seeing this with some of these brothers for a while, you understand, they come in, everything is fine, and then someone don't agree with it, something they're bringing or whatever the case is, and then mm-hmm. they turn to enemies. You understand?
Yeah.
And we've been doing this before we even ran into this brother.
Mm-hmm.
And now, out of nowhere, even though I've never done nothing to this brother, zero, this brother has made us his enemy. These brothers are making us his enemy and become enemies of us, and I really don't understand it. We've done nothing to these people, and they come together, they attack and destroy, but I'm going to tell you, the Most High said, be careful, because you're going to find yourself fighting against the Most High. And mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, in the commandments, it says, and the same Ten Commandments they claim to follow, it tells you that we're not supposed to bear false witness against our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So to come mm-hmm. on and slander people and put stuff out there that they know is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Only to stump people. Let me tell you, every person they stump, every person they hurt through all this, that's on them. But I wanted to put it out there, and I wanted to set the record straight because people sending me things that I thought I would never see. I'm like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
They send me a page I've never seen before about a 501c3, And I'm like, what? What? Who's the gathering of Jesus Christ? you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? But when a brother sent it to me, then he responded back 24 hours later and said, man, I'm sorry. I went to the page and looked, and I seen all these different links. Common sense would tell me that Google search puts all these things together.
Right.
Yep. But how many people are going to run into that and believe that madness? And then you have satanic cheerleaders on the side cheering this madness on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put it out there. I hated to put it out there. You know, God just say, listen, don't put out no names. I'm not going to put out no names, but it's just becoming ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Seeing the work being done and brothers, many people coming to the truth. I'm seeing brothers like yourself and others interviewing historians, trying to bring truth to light, bringing forth the understanding that's going to awaken our people. And then we're faced constantly with these antagonizers, these backbiters. And
mm-hmm.
Hey, we just have to pray for our nation.
Yeah, amen. Just keep doing the work. I think you know, actually, by even having these type of discussion, they actually win. I would have ignored it, you know, because now they're gonna, you know, respond to this, and it becomes they actually won, and they actually, you know, got what they wanted. And see, and what it is, you know, usually with these people, if you ignore them, they'll get angry and they'll come up with something else, bigger, more elaborate. Before you know it, becomes so ridiculous that people themselves are like, okay, these guys are insane, you know. And the people they are listening. See, I'm more concerned about not necessarily these brothers or these people, but the people they are actually listening. What you need to understand is you are going against the commandment of the Most High. If you take any accusation, now never mind an elder, but anyone, without no evidence, and spread those same those rumors to someone else. You know, and it becomes so easier in the day of the World Wide Web to spread these things. But the minute you say, "Hey, check this out," check out this video. The minute you do that to somebody else, you're going against the commandment of the Most High. You're not supposed to be spreading that garbage to no way. If you spread, if you report it, you do report it to anyone of your of the elders in your area, or the GOCC website. But you should not be sending these rumors and these false witnesses against the elders or anybody. Never mind the elders, anybody. You're not supposed to be like, hey, sister, girlfriend, look what I heard. Hey, brother, man, check this out. Check out this video. Wow, that's deep. Wow, check this. And it becomes a conversation that before the night is over, 50 people already seen the video.
Hey,
that's murmuring.
Let me interject real quick. Just compound on what you're saying there. I think we as a nation of people have to examine the spirit that running around, this effeminate Judas type of spirit that running round with our people, because you know next week it's going to be another scenario, and then the week after, and it's like you said, it's murmuring, it's the backbiting, it's like we more caught up in a soap opera type of vibe more than truth.
Mm-hmm.
Understand me? It's like truth is becoming second and third thing on the list. You understand me? Now, okay, just say in a world, that the church was 501c3, right? And we know it's not, but just say it was. I'm saying, what does that have to do with truth? You look at some of these videos that these brothers putting out, and you don't see nobody getting baptized. You don't see nobody coming back to the Most High. It's just pure tear down. There's no breakdown of scripture. There's no nothing. It's a straight spirit. And you know,
mm-hmm.
To what end? You understand? important is it going to be?
Right, and it exactly. It's like, yeah, there's only breakdown of scripture that they disagree with this church or that church. The only time they go into the Bible is any time is when a doctrine that we're teaching, like the 12 tribe breakdown. Okay, if we are wrong, can you give us then the right breakdown?
Not only that,
because if the Most High created the 12 tribe of Israel, which he said, if you touch them, you touch the apple of my eye. The most single nation that the whole Bible is about the creation of the children of Israel, about the rise and fall, about the curses and blessings of children of Israel. And he actually put prophecy of the children of Israel returning back to the land of Israel. Okay, can you then give us the breakdown of who are the 12 tribes of Israel today using the same scripture that we have used for years? If Issachar is not the Mexican, who are the Issachar today?
But Elder, it's not even just that alone. If you come to the truth, right? If you come to the truth and you realize that, okay, based on the research that you have done, that certain people are not the Most High's people based on what you come to, why not just go and go teach the people them who you believe are the people and just end it there?
But they don't know.
Because this is the thing. All right. For example, if I believe that only Negroes are Israelites, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's millions of Negroes out there right now who don't have this information. Why not let me just go and go teach those Negroes who don't have the truth? At least wake them up. Let me get some of them into the water. Let me baptize some of them. Let me get them put. Let me start that if that's what I believe. But this is not. We don't see these people doing that. They're not doing it. It's like I say, your knowledge is the new gangster. You understand me? It's like man trying to represent. It's like it's a gang thing now. You understand me? It's not all truth. Go ahead.
Let me say one thing real quick out of scripture, right? In Isaiah, it speaks, let me read it. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God or their power. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to the Most High. But listen to this. Wherefore have we fasted? Because you have everyone saying they're doing certain things because they're compelled in the spirit to do it. So they fast and pray, and it's leading them in a certain direction. Listen to what the Most High says. Wherefore have we fasted in Isaiah 58:3? Say they, and thou seest not. Therefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. That means you're doing all this supposedly holy things, but yet they're not coming with any level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So you got brothers that are out there claiming they're in the spirit and praying together and all that, only to destroy and tear down their own brothers. So what good is their fast? What good is their prayer when Israel is not coming back as a people? So I like to put that out there to say, listen, because a lot of these brothers, they come together and pray together and everything, and then make a video attacking their own brothers.
Mm-hmm.
As if the Most High don't love us as much as he loved them.
Mm-hmm.
As if the Most High found favor with him and the Most High love us less. So this is deeper than just a debate or a talk. Brothers don't realize when they operate in this fashion, that they are at war with the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to come on tonight not to talk about any particular brother or to slander somebody or to say, listen, let's stop it. Let's just stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because brother's going to find out that they're fighting against the Most High. Because I'll tell you this. Even if everything they're saying about us is true, and it's not, if the Most High is going to use us to wake up somebody next week and he need us here for that, he will be here for us. He will hear the prayer of the saints so that we can continue to work, so we can continue to put souls in the water and bring them back to the Most High. So mm-hmm. be careful what you're doing. If we're doing something wrong, let the Most High deal with it then. You don't step in the way and try to touch the Most High's anointed. If you, even though they don't have no proof, I don't even know this particular brother for real. And it's a shame. We give these brothers opportunity to come on, bring their understanding, treat them as brethren, give them opportunity on our shows. And in turn, they backbite and destroy. So the only thing I'm going to say is, listen, be very careful. Be very, very careful because, let me tell you, the Most High is going to bring the wrath. You can't fight against the Most High servants, especially if there's more work for us to do. And guess what? Our work is not done yet. We're
mm-hmm.
still here. Very fearful. And I'm going to say this. Listen, my teachers, a lot, some of them have passed. May the Most High bless their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are still living who helped me on my way during my time of learning. I'm no longer under these particular teachers. But you know what? I love them no less, and you'll never hear me speak against them because I fear the Most High. How
mm-hmm.
can I go against my teacher and think that I'm – that makes me not credible if I'm going to attack the man that actually showed me some light?
Mm-hmm.
That makes mm-hmm. me not credible. That makes me dead wrong. How can the Most I look at the Most High put a spirit on this man to show me the light, and then I'm going to come back and backbite him and take him down
mm-hmm.
and try to destroy that brother? I would never do that. I will reverence him as a big brother and honor him as a father because I understand that that's the order of things in the heavenly realm. It's respect. And if we don't respect those who have planted seeds and given us anything, we don't respect the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same thing we do to our brethren, we're doing unto Christ. It would be as if Christ was on this earth and we're doing it to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there all together and say, listen, just stop it. Because people are fasting for debate. They're praying to get understanding to attack and to tear down. And guess what? You will get some inspiration and understanding, but it will not come from the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It will not come from the Spirit on high. It'll come from someplace else. So you will get some understanding. Some brothers are praying together and doing all this together. And they're looking at each other in a room saying, man, this is deep. Man, I'm so glad I ran into you. Man, this is, man, you in the Spirit. And they're sitting
mm-hmm.
there hyping mm-hmm. each other up with Beelzebub in the midst of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because mm-hmm. you can't tell me the Most High is in the room with you and your idea is to attack and to destroy your own brothers. So that's all I have to say. I mean, I'm ready to talk to some of the people before we and I got another project I'm trying to finish here tonight, so.
Okay, but we do the lines are lined up, so let's grab some phone calls. So that I don't know if you have some time now, so you maybe grab some calls.
Sure, okay. I'll take some calls.
Okay, we have area code 336. Area code 336. You're on the air.
Shalom.
How are we doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Yeah. Pretty good. How are we doing?
Oh yeah, I just This question was just pertaining to earlier about the Roman power influence into the Pharisees and stuff like that. I was reading in 1 Maccabees chapter 8 when it was talking about how the Romans, they would league themselves with anybody that would, you know, take the customs of them, whatever, if they would join themselves with them. And Judas Maccabees had made a, like some type of covenant with Rome, with Romans, so they would be protected from the Grecian Empire. And I was wondering, did that have something to do with the Romans in the time of Paul and Josiah with the Pharisees? Did that covenant still have something to do with that?
No. No, it's really one don't have anything to do with the other. Under Judas Maccabees, which was well years later before Christ came on the earth, and he was tasked with building the temple. So it was Greek, it was the Greek time to fall and the Roman time to come in. So that was more political than it was something of significance when it comes to Paul and his writings and teaching and his mission.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I had. And yeah, I appreciate you too, Elder Ricard, for clearing that up too, because man, I mean, it's just straight up attacks. You know, everybody's attacking GOCC, and I'm telling you, we got to be doing something right. We're just the aim. The aim is on us. So, you know,
well,
y'all stay strong.
Well, brother, I tell you what. Hey, we must be doing some soup, because if it was nothing, there would be nothing to attack with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, if it's irrelevant, you ignore it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, could you imagine the attacks Christ would get if he was on the earth today?
Well, he told us we got to get the same thing he got, so
yeah.
We should be used to it.
Hey, it tell you in Matthew, if they hated me first, no, they'll hate you.
Amen.
So
amen.
The whole deal is Christ would be hated by the whole earth, and they'll be talking all types of junk about him. They did it when he was on the earth. So we are the servants of Christ. We are the servants of Josiah.
Amen.
Okay, and I want to put this out there, too. We stand by the name Josiah, and I'm going to tell you this. I've seen it myself with my eyes in the original Hebrew Matthews, Christ's name in the Hebrew.
Hmm.
I've seen that in the year 2002 in the Hebrew Matthews. Also, it's in a Bible that was printed before the King James Bible, the 1538 Bible, Christ's full name. So when people come up with certain things and try to question things, saying, why are we not calling him Emmanuel, because it's utterly ridiculous. We know Christ's name. His name is Savior. And we don't have no time for futile debate. Okay? If you believe that Christ is Jesus, you go baptize in Jesus then. If you believe he's Emmanuel, anyone else, why you must focus on whether or not we are saying Christ's name.
Mm.
Why is that the focus? If you know the truth, bring it. And maybe if by doing the work, someone will see your work and want to talk and speak against you.
Mm.
Because you're doing the work of Christ.
And
get some people start recognizing that you're doing something and want to speak against you.
Go ahead. Going back to that's actually extremely deep in regards of the Matthews. Can you touch a spot on the Matthews Bible? My understanding from my research is that the book of Matthews was one of the only few ones that were found in Hebrew, and they chose the Greek Bible because it was entirely in Greek. But can you expound on the Matthew's Hebrew Bible or book?
That is correct. The whole deal is you have to realize because we were under the Romans at this time, after falling to the Greeks and the Romans, when the scribes would pen the scrolls, they would pen it in both languages, in Greek and in Hebrew during Christ's time.
Okay.
You understand? Because we had a lot of our people that were dispersed and were Hellenists amongst the Greeks.
Yes.
But when it was time to compile the information during the time of King James, rushing in haste to try to get this together before they take them down, like it tell you in the prologue of the Bible, when it was time to gather the fragments together, even though they found Matthew's intact, the majority of the epistles and all the other Gospels, the majority of the information was in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, even though they had the Hebrew Matthews intact, they used the Greek for all the records for continuity purposes, so that the whole New Testament would have one flow, one language, even though the Matthew Hebrew was totally intact. Now, see, this is what I've seen with my own eyes. You understand? So no one has to convince me, or we didn't pull Yeshaya out of the sky someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We didn't just make that up. It so happened that his name that's in the Hebrew of Hebrew Matthew is Savior, which is the same Savior, Yesha, in the ancient Phoenician Hebrew.
Mm.
I'm saying this because you got a lot of young people, impressionable young people, who don't even know any better, that's running into some of this mess, being taken. And but guess what? Even Christ told us that, let me tell you, it tells us in Zechariah that not a drop will fall from the Most High's hand. If one that belongs to Christ, they're going to be there. They're going to make it through all. They're going to make it through the weeds and see
and
the deception.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Absolutely.
So, and if it was possible, the very elect might be deceived. And here's the truth, brothers and sisters. Only a few, and I hope the Most High have mercy on all of us, only a few goes in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're speaking to the world and the masses, but the reality is, at the end of the day, when all this technology comes down and all this stuff go down, it's going to be the brother or sister that's next to you. It's not going to be a lot of people. That's just the reality. We're just planting seeds, some on stony ground, and when the sun comes, it's scorched. Some get offended, and by, like I tell you in Matthew, they become offended, and they lose everything because they wasn't rooted in Christ. But those that have that seed that go down into good soil and grow, they will be here upon the coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. You understand? Those are they that will make it. You understand? And I'm going to tell brothers and sisters, you see brothers out there making videos and attacking other people? It's best to stay as far away from these people as possible.
Yeah.
Because if Christ was on the scene, there'd be the same people that came and turned Christ in, talking behind his back, lying on him. Christ is on council with people that he healed, helped, fed, and they were all pointing fingers, lying on him, looking to crucify him, slapping him, and all types of offensive things to the Son of the Most High, totally in disrespect. And these are the same, even though there's no such thing as reincarnation, but it's the same spirit that's in the earth today when it comes to trying to attack the truth.
Amen. So let's continue. We have area code 973. Cal, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hey, shalom, brother. Hello. How we doing?
Shalom. How you doing, Elder?
Hey, shalom, brother. How we doing? Comment or question?
Doing good. I had a comment. I wanted to say that you guys going into the brothers who are, I guess, backbiting you guys is actually good for some of us as listeners, because it's a lot of information that you guys brought out, even reading the scriptures about it. So it's not really a victory for them, because even some of us that are, you know, trying to do the right thing got some edification from it. Like, I know that there are people who taught me before I got in the truth, and I never tried to talk bad about them or destroy them, but I kind of had, I don't know the word I'm looking for. I don't know if it's animosity or whatever, because, you know, when I started getting into what I was getting into, they started looking at me like I was crazy. And hearing what you guys said, that, you know, just to keep that respect, because even though we're not on the same path anymore, there's a lot of things that I stopped doing when I started learning under this a particular person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for me personally, it was beneficial to hear you guys go into that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond the leadership, you know, eldership. It's just respect one another. to the point that we have to learn how to be civil with one another, civilized, civil. We may disagree with someone, but we have to learn how to be civilized, and people lose their civil, you know, being morality. I mean, it just becomes that you got a problem with someone, and you will move heaven and earth just to take this person down just because, you know, we may disagree with a doctrine, or we may disagree with we just don't, you know. So we have to learn how to be civil, and that's something within our people that we have to learn. We put our emotions in our shoulders. It's self-centered. You know, someone doesn't agree with us. You know, we get emotionally attached to, or we get a because, you know, like Brother Godget brought it out. We just get a feminine spirit. We just, you know, antagonizing spirit to continue perpetrating that negative spirit towards that brother who have done nothing to you. So, I mean, I just don't get that. You know, some of these guys we met once or twice, and we don't, you know, we have to just squirt it. Yeah, go ahead, Ella.
Let me put this out there, too. That's another thing. A lot of these brothers are putting it out there as if we know these brothers, as if they operated with us as elders. Okay? And I'm going to say in particular, a brother that we allow to be on our radio show and say a few things. People out, and that's why we have to be careful who we let in like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. We give them the forum to speak and bring forth what we feel the Most High have in them. All for them to just turn around and fight and destroy us and try to come against us. So the only thing I have to say is this on that. The same brethren that are doing this, we've been there for. But
it's interesting, though, because I've never... Sorry.
But listen, but I'm going to say this. They haven't really operated with us like that. You understand? But they'll tell other people as if they know us, as if they go out and, you understand, and we sit and sip wine together or something, and then to lie to these people.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, brother.
I mean, I've never heard any other church talked about. Like, I've never heard any other church, some people bring some type of bad information by any other church other than the Gathering of Christ Church, which I also found interesting. It's never happened. I've never seen a video. Anytime they came against, like, an Israelite teaching, they were always trying to talk about GOCC. And that's how I knew that y'all was doing the right thing, because it said in the scriptures that you'll be hated for my name if you, you know, I guess, follow my testimony or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad at it. I'm paraphrasing terribly, but I remember that, and that's how I knew that I was on the right path. You know what I mean? But,
Well bless you, brother. Bless you, brother, and it's all in respect. It's all in respect, and it's good, brother, that you as a brother have respect for other brothers, and we respect you in return.
Amen, amen. Okay, let's continue. We have area code 918, Ratizi. I might pronounce the name wrong. You're on the air.
Shalom. This is Brother Ratzaziah from the portion of Jacob. I want to say all praise to the Most High, his son Yeshaya. And I just wanted to encourage you, brothers, and let you know that portion of Jacob wouldn't be anything if we did not have the GOCC videos and teachings to watch. So be encouraged. Ignore the blind leading the blind. And I will be remiss if I did not say thank you. So bless you, brother.
Amen.
Brother, thank you. Thank you, brother. And I'll tell you what, your thanks go a long way, brother. Because, listen, we're not looking for pats on the back. Our reward comes at the end. We must finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to know that for every one person that looks to tear down, you probably have 100 or more, or probably 1,000, who would respect the work that's done day and night. I mean, I look at Brother Santi, who deal with our videos, and how working close with him for a good while, how he'll spend 3 whole days and don't even go outside just to edit one video. He'll just eat, clean himself, and go, you know, go to the restroom in the midst of rendering video just for one, and a lot of people don't know what goes into this. He stayed in the house for 3 days for one video. And I look at the work that's being done. I see how it's spread, and I see how, when I first spoke with you, how it was just a conversation on the phone. It was you by yourself. And then I turn on the computer, and I see all these people, and the Most High have you leading and caring for the brethren and doing the work. And I'm seeing the work that's being done. I'm listening to the conversation to keep things together and when people are going through things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at what's going on all around the world and seeing the work that's being done. And it's good to know that people out there see that it takes work to do this. That this is not about vainglory. This is not about trying to get yourself out there and be seen. That people understand that it takes work to continue this. It's easy to go to your computer and see it out there and not know how much work it took. And it's good to hear a younger brother like I heard today. He's saying, you know what? Listen, brother, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you, brother. That's good to know. That's good to know that there's brethren out there that will respect the word, because if they respect the word, they respect the power that sent the word. You understand? If they have reverence for the Most High and respect the Most High and thank the Most High that we were able to help them even a little tie some of these blue things together.
Exactly.
You understand? So, I mean, I've been down for a couple of weeks, but let me tell you, the Most High have I've done found out some amazing things in the last 2 weeks. And it's going to be absolutely. It's gonna blow everything out of the water. This year right here, with what the Most High's given us, you think they're hating on us now. you understand? I've been down for a couple of weeks, but some of the information the Most High bestowed on us, brothers, through the Spirit of the Most High, you are not gonna believe. I'm talking about timelines, things in the New Testament that was placed a certain way so that you'll believe that that one thing happened, but we got the real timeline for it. I mean, the Most High put us right on time, knowing that it near the end. So while they're attacking, the Spirit is still bringing it. And that lets me know, as long as the Most High is bringing His Spirit and revealing truth to us, we're in a good place. You understand? Because while they're hating, the same people are going to be looking at a video and going to be like, man, where did that come from? The same God that gave us the truth concerning Himself. That's who it came from. We still seek on high and beg for His mercy and pray for understanding, and the Most High bringeth not. He bring us understanding. So I'm sure all the groups will come together to hate against the truth. They will. And guess what? Bring it on. Because what we are about to reveal is going to blow the whole thing wide open concerning this truth. And that's how I know Christ is going to return soon, because the information and the truth is coming so clear. And the Bible has become so clear. You understand? All the mysteries have been revealed. The seals have been broken. So I'm putting it out there. Hey, you can hate, okay? But you cannot, you will not be able to deny what the Most High will have us bring out these scriptures. Y'all be here this coming Saturday when we bring out this information that we've been going into, that the Most High revealed within the last couple of weeks. You be here this Sabbath.
Well, amen. I mean, that's what I like to hear. Let's start building. I think we spent too much time on you know, these guys. That's what I'm saying. Let's start. I mean, you're right. I've been trying to reach you because there's certain things I wanted to bring out, you know, and I know you've been busy, and I've been busy, but sometimes you reading and you going over the scripture, and you be like, I got to get the elder on the phone right now, because I think but sometimes, you know, I can't do it right now because I got a meeting and I got to take this, I got to do that. So sometimes work and family just keeps you in the way for you growing, you know. So let's not add to the distractions. by dealing with these guys, you know, sometimes. I mean, we dealt with it, but let's grow, man. I'm more. I know you and I and brother Zahar, we were talking about doing some things in Africa and overseas and some concerts, and let's go, man. Let's, you know, because, you know, we got to get in that train. Either it's gonna leave, or it's gonna leave you. so absolutely.
Right.
Let's go ahead, Elder. Yeah. So
well,
go ahead.
Well, things are cleared now. You know, when we get off the line tomorrow, we'll just talk and we'll put things back on schedule.
Amen. Amen. So let's continue. We got brother 631 Kanan, I believe.
Yes, Kanan. How you doing, Elders?
Shalom, hey. Brother. How we doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Shalom. Hold up. Brother Kanan, hold the line for me 1 second, all right? I've got Elder Zahar here in queue. I wanted to just come in and say something real quick. I don't think he has
no doubt.
Let me just bring him in real quick. All right, let's hold the line.
Okay,
sure,
hold the line. 2 seconds, brother.
Hello.
Shalom, brother.
First, I'd like to say thank you to the brother for yielding his time a little bit. I'm going to make this quick. First, I want to give thanks to the Most High in the name of his son, Yeshaya. Give thanks to the elders for bringing forth this information. But the number one thing that I want to bring forth, and not just to piggyback on what the brothers was just saying, and this goes out to those that are amongst us and those that are new, you know, we always say, and the elder always says, let us always stay grounded in what brought us to the truth. That's decency and in order. Let us always stay, if you learned under us and you're learning under us and you're learning under these different elders, let us stay grounded in what brought you to the truth. And any divisions or discrepancies or misconceptions, let's allow the Holy Spirit to work that out.
Uh-huh.
And then that'll achieve everything. But when we don't do that and we take hold and allow these spirits to take hold of us, this is exactly what we get. So I just want to encourage the brothers and the sisters that are listening. Let's stay grounded in what brought you to the truth, and the Holy Spirit will resolve everything else. And in time, everything will work itself out, and we can stay together and move together as a body, in the body of Christ. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and I'm sure the elder will piggyback on that as well. But that's the most important thing that I get from all of these naysayers and those that have come amongst us and secretly still watch us but try to achieve their own agendas. Please let us all just stay grounded in the truth, and then the Holy Spirit will always guide us.
Well, amen, amen.
And also brother Elder Zahar, whilst you're here, we had some talks earlier about Passover. You wanted to just put it out for the listeners in the region that you are. What you planning on doing?
Yes, sir. We are in preparation through the Spirit of the Most High of getting our Passover together here in Georgia. We were asking the brothers and sisters if they could please send an email to GOCCAfrica@gmail.com. So that we can sort of gauge the level of participation that we're going to have this year. If we don't have the level of participation, we were thinking of maybe combining with our brother Elder Gabar in New York and taking a bus trip to New York and fellowshipping with him. So I'm asking everybody to please get in contact with us here within the next week or so we can finally make a decision on if we're going to go ahead and have it here or if we're going to get a bus and go and fellowship in New York.
Yeah, man, we got 9 weeks until the Sabbath, until the Passover. 9 weeks. So it's around the corner. So those that are listening, please. And piggyback with Brother Elder Zahar was saying, we do have a place in New York. I booked it 2 days ago. It's going to be in Harlem. We're going to be putting the information pretty soon. So those that would do want to, I'm going to be announcing it this weekend, and then ultimately we'll put some flyers and I'll put a video up and things of that nature. So absolutely. We are also that weekend, those that may or may not know, I'm putting a documentary together on the history of the Israelite culture in America, not going back into, the early Israelites, Dr. Bibbins, Rabbi Ford, Rabbi Matthews, going back into also Brother Martin Delay, who was a free slave or after slavery, he actually the first thing he opened was a synagogue. So that goes to show you that we knew we were Hebrews even during the time of slavery. This is going back to the 1837. So I want to try to bring a documentary print together. We're going to be interviewing different brothers. We're starting the process this weekend. Well, we're starting the process already. We already started doing some interviews. But that weekend, what we're going to be doing is, for the Passover, we're going to be doing small reenactments of the Bible. You know, when we do documentation, sometimes it's good to also show like a reenactment. So we need some actors to play different roles, like Moses, Abraham, someone playing Christ, talking to his disciples and things of that nature. So we're going to be doing it that weekend. So we're going to be having the March 28th, the Passover, March 29th, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that Sunday we're going to be doing the, of course, we're going to be doing baptism, and we're going to be doing the little reenactment. It's going to be a whole day of thing, a whole weekend. It's going to be filled up. So clear your schedule if you're in the New York area, because we're going to be doing a lot that weekend. So we're going to be putting that together.
Good, good. Well, brothers, I'm not going to hold any more of your time. I just want to say I'm proud to be a part of this body, the body of Gathering Christ Church. I give thanks to the Most High for the spirit that he put on our elder to bring forth this truth. And I'm just proud to serve with each and every one of you brothers on this line and all the brothers that are doing the work throughout the four corners of the earth. And let us all continue to cast out iniquity and so that we can deem ourselves worthy of the Most High to get into his kingdom. And I'm going to leave y'all with that. All right? Love y'all. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Hey, hello, okay. Everybody. You're making me want to take a plane and come over, come to New York.
We need actors. You could be you could play the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, I'll be Paul. Yeah.
Okay, brothers. All right, so let's continue. Brother Virgil, Kayan, you're on the air, brother.
Yeah, shalom, elders. How you shalom. Doing today?
Shalom.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on the discussion at hand, because just to put it out there, I was actually baptized with this brother the same day. And, you know, we spoke. I've lost track since he, you know, went on the road. And even though I disagree with the direction he's taken, you know, we've always been amicable, even when we disagree. So I still love the brother, and, you know, hopefully he'll reach out to me, because I have no way of contacting him. But what I was concerned about, I saw the video, and I kind of laughed, because I was in business for 10 years. So in the beginning stages, I was involved in putting the website together myself, and before I gave up and let professionals do it. And this website, to me, kind of had that feel to it, so I laughed right off the cuff. But one thing I learned in business, which was loan modifications and for mortgages, the information, anything you give for free is suspect at best, number one. Because it may be a starting point, but people need to understand, when you go to these sites and they pull up these numbers, it may or may not be accurate. Now, never mind the fact that the name was not the exact same name, but here's the thing that I think a lot of people might get dismayed by if they don't know how the technology works. At one point, there was you clicked on a link, and it went to, you know, the Gathering of Christ Church. Now, I don't think people understand. It's very simple to go to, like, a GoDaddy.com. I could go there right now and get the web address BaphometSawRus.com, and I can redirect that to the Gathering of Christ Church. So simply the fact that a link goes from a website to another website does not verify anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand that the technology out there, you can do many things with it. You can do many things to deceive people, misdirect people, mislead people. And so just so the layperson, because most people, like I know when I was in business, the technologies I was using to reach out to customers, they got the impression I was some big corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not. So, I mean, this technology can be used both for good and evil. So my only concern throughout that whole video, and I'm sending this out to the brother as well, because maybe he doesn't understand that simple technology as far as the web link address. Cause I think that would be the one thing where people would say, wow, he clicked on a link and it went to the Gathering of Christ Church. So that to me was the one damaging aspect of that.
So. Yeah, because what people don't understand is that I could put multiple words to link up to my website. I could put the word, and when we was trying to develop the website, the web designer told us, give us different words that you want to be associated with your website.
The keywords, exactly.
Yeah. Gathering, Christian, God, religion. You know, you put your church title because you can find out that'll be the one. But you put even different things, politics. You can put different things, whatever you feel that you want people to kind of find you, depending on your to put you in the top of their list. So, you know, this name, you know, when you look down, it a lot of these the other links was other organization that had that either name Gathering, you know, or Christ,
right.
Or it was you are correct, and then that was a trick, you know, he should know
information,
that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but these information pages, I spoke on a low level. Mm-hmm. They'll send out spiders, like you said, and they'll just collect links they think. The spiders that the spiders think, well, you know, spiders web. But they send out these spiders, and they literally think that this web address may tie to this particular corporation.
Right.
Not written in stone.
Obviously. Right, because it's a search engine. They're helping you out to search something. So if you put a word, it's going to give you also other related stuff with that title or those words or those topic and things of that nature. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, main message I want people to understand, you know, that Internet is, you can get a whole lot of information on there, but there's a whole lot more misinformation. So you can't just off the fly run with something. If you're going to, I mean, use it, but you got to research, mm-hmm. and verify the things you find on the Internet.
Amen.
And I would like to say this before you go, brother. My point is, why are you on your computer searching anything of the Gathering of Christ Church? Why?
Mm.
If you don't agree with the church, then why even go into trying to do anything? Just go on. Why would you even do that?
Mm. Well, you know, the thing about that is there's a thousand and one things to hate. So you spend your whole time. I can spend my whole – I would never go to work. I would never go anywhere. If I was just looking for things I disagreed with.
But the point I'm making in that is, listen clearly to this. This is what Christ said. I want to put this out there. It says here. It says, and I'm in Luke 11:34. It says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doeth give the light. So when Christ, and it links into Matthew where it says, if your eye be evil, your whole body is evil. Which
mm-hmm.
tells you that if you sin someone as wrong or evil, everything you in what you want to see against the person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's your guiding light. Your light is to attack and to destroy. So even if he wasn't looking for that, that's what he found. He needed something to verify his venom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why brothers and sisters have to be careful when they run with something, because they're being led through a spirit and don't even realize it. That's
mm-hmm.
why the Bible tell you about that eye. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to go into the kingdom blind than to have an eye that'll lead you to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So people are looking to destroy and not realizing, listen, I'm only a brother. You can't do much to me. I'm thousands of miles away from you. You understand? And even if I was there, you couldn't do anything to me personally, because I've already put my body out as a sacrifice for this work. I don't have no life in this world. My life is to finish this truth. People
mm-hmm.
got to be careful that what they're fighting against is from the throne. That's what they must be careful with. And I keep on putting it out there about the iron that leads you to fight and attack your brother. So when you see things like that, you see them putting, gathering all on the browser and looking at this and linking and that, their whole eye is single to attack and destroy. And now Satan even led them to something that's entirely an organization I don't even know about. So led them down a road of total lying and total deceit. And they don't see nothing wrong with that. So I don't want to be the dead horse, because anyone with common sense would know that wasn't us, what they linked to. But I'm just putting it out there how the spirit can turn one into venom to where they'll destroy and kill their own brother. And guess what? That's the spirit of Judas was in the bosom of Christ. You understand? And was utilized as an enemy against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see which side of the spectrum we're on. Are we Christ, forgiving, turning the other cheek, loving your brother as you love yourself, or are we Judas, willing to give up and destroy and backbite and kill our brethren?
Mm-hmm.
It's either one or the other. There is no in between. So thank you, brother, for your insight.
Thank you, brother. Brother Gan, Judas back over supporting the church. Good brother. Okay, let's continue. Area code 623, Quadan or Quartin, from Arizona. Quante Salakian, brother. My eyes is
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, brother. How we doing? Comment or question?
I'm one of both, brother.
Okay.
But I would just kind of what the Elder said, like what would overcome our brother to, like, look up things against the gathering of Christ Church. Well, I'm just like, a lot of the time it's like because you guys are right, you know, like, like one instance I'll have was like I'll watch when you guys' videos and I'll study. You know, I'll go to some of the other Israelite groups or even social media like Facebook or MySpace. And, you know, like that one dude, you know what I'm saying, who's out there saying that he was a comforter. You know what I'm saying? Well, I had seen that lesson Elder Ricard did on the Holy Spirit, and I went to that particular group, and I was tearing them up with the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? Like, how could he be the scripture if the word were walk in the Hebrew, the feminine word? So that alone, you know, tore that doctrine down. So then when I said I was with the Gathering of Christ Church, you know what I'm saying, you go to different groups and you destroy them, well, they don't have nothing to do but to go back and destroy you guys. You know what I'm saying? Not simply because they hate you guys in particular, but because of the truth. And they don't understand. They think that, you know what I'm saying, that they're with the Most High, going and destroy you guys like I'm with the Most High. How can I find any wrong information? And they take that cockiness, you know, and even guys who are with you guys are turned against you because they think they found something in the gulf with a lie and totally deface you guys' name.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys hit the scripture already, but that makes you think of 1 John 2:19, we talked about the Antichrist, saying that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest they were not of all. They were not all of us.
Absolutely. The mystery of iniquity was at hand even during the time of Christ and the apostles. So absolutely, good statement. Keep doing the work. So are you in Arizona up there with Deacon Greg?
Yeah, I'm down here. I got some more brothers to get. I want to take the academy so I can have on you guys this lesson so I can make some DVDs, because there's a lot of people I've been giving this truth to who waking up and want to get something started. So I'd want to have those backup DVDs to hand out to them. But I've been shooting emails and calling the line, and I haven't been able to get a call or email response to sign up for the academy.
Okay. You can send an email to the gathering as the number one. What I'll do, I'm also going to grab your number. I don't know, Elder, you probably would know better than me. I think, is it too late for the academy now? Maybe we should wait for the next go-around?
No, it's not too late. We're only 5 weeks in, so we got about 2 more months. And what if he come in, we'll just make sure we send him the full month that he missed. So
okay.
That's no problem.
Okay, brother. And I'm going to grab your number here, and then I'll give you a call. And
okay. I have one more question about John, the first chapter.
Sure. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. When the Pharisees were asking John about, and this is John 1:25, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? What did they mean by that prophet?
One moment. Where are you? John, where?
John 1 and 25.
One moment. Let me just share with you. All right. John 1 and 25.
Yes, sir.
And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, which the anointed, nor Elias, neither that prophet? It's speaking of Elias. That's what he's speaking of, Elijah.
Oh, okay.
That
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking, I was talking to someone, they said, well, maybe it's talking about Deuteronomy 18, when Moses was talking about somebody coming after him, but then I was thinking, well, no, you know, that's Christ.
No, it's speaking solely, when you look at it in the Greek, it's speaking solely of Elijah.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also when you're reading the Bible, make sure that sometimes you see certain words that are crooked, a little slanted. That word usually, you know, and usually are words like that, you know, him, they, to. Sometimes those words were added by the translator to kind of make it easier for us to read. But sometimes they do mistakes. But sometimes when you read
The bar.
Yes.
Real quick. Hey, brother, read the 21st verse real quick.
Okay.
And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no.
See that? Elias,
yeah.
Elias is that prophet.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, I get that now.
So it's like they're repeating the question.
Yeah.
They were badgering him. Are you him? Are you him? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you for the question. Great question. And please press 1 to get off the queue. I think that we have any more questions. Okay, yes. We have Brother Damon from the Tribe of Gad. You have a comment. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, brother. Shalom, Elder Ricard. Shalom, Brother Ricard. It's Brother Damon calling from up north from Minnesota.
Okay, you had. I see the Tribe of Gad. You had a question about the Tribe of Gad. Okay.
No. I'm calling from the land, one of the lands where the North American Indians, not too far from where they were. I'm in the academy, and I've been following y'all since last year, like in September, and I'm not working, so I've been in the house for like 3-4 months straight, and you know, listening to everything y'all got, blog talk. I'm in the academy. I listen to you, Brother Gabar, every Saturday morning. Elder Lloyd, I listen to all of y'all. And, you know, I'm real dedicated to GLCC. And it's been taking me months for me to get ready to talk to Elder Ricard, you know. I feel like he like a brother, you know. I associate with Brother Xavier. I talk to him like every other day, but he's in California, Nevada. So there's nobody really up here. I don't have no elder close or nothing, you know. So, you know, I just feel like this. It's time for brothers to get together to get ready for these prophecies, you know what I mean, for what Elder Ricard was saying, you know. All the patting on the back and all that's all, you know, that's good. But it's more like the action, you know. We can go through scriptures. We can talk about what we don't understand and all that. But it's more like, you know, because I used to be in the game, you know what I'm saying, for 20 years. So I know all about unity. I know about the evil, and I know about the good. So I'm ready to put in some work for the Most High, or higher, you know. And ain't no, you know, I don't talk to nobody. I'm in my Bible every day. I might listen to GOCC studies and all day through the day, you know. I'm not working. I don't care about no money. All I care about is the wisdom of the Most High. My mom, you know, me and my mom was brought up in the apostolic church called Christ Temple in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where I'm originally from. They call it the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World or whatever. So I was brought up apostolic, you know, very strong family in the faith of Christ. So, you know, I never saw my dad. You know, my dad was really from California. So I had left a message on the academy for my number for Elder Ricard, And he had called me one day, but I accidentally hung up on him because all these schools kept calling me. So I accidentally hung up on you, Brother Ricard. So I'm sorry about that. So
that's okay.
So I don't have time. You know, I'm reading everything y'all got. I got all y'all books, everything. I just ain't got the money to come meet up with y'all and do the participation, the work, you know. And how I got delivered is I looked at something on the internet. I looked at you guys up when I was smoking weed. I was real depressed. I was smoking every day, quarters and dimes a day. And I looked at something called GOCC, smoking weed. I was talking about Haile Selassie and what it is and, you know, what it do to you. And you and that Lord was looking so serious. So after that, I found out more information. And y'all was talking about put the anointment oil. Now, my mom always keep anointment oil in the house, prayed up. So we always had that. So I put it on my body, and my body started burning. And in 2 days, I stayed up. And there was a scripture in Hosea 6, and I got raised up off of Hosea 6, 1 through 3. That's what was written. Christ said, I raised you in the third day. Also, I got the tears. So I know I'm one of the chosen, early elect. Ain't no doubt about that. You know, I don't want to be like everybody else, just call in, say a couple words, you know, and they go. No, I want to get on the team. Ain't no, and I'm dying for a higher. If I gotta go in with one leg, one arm, one finger, whatever.
Well, brother, you're already in the team. Just good. Just keep doing the good work. I think I spoke to you. Few words back
in Elsa. My mother. My mom, all I want to know, Ella Ricard, is your birthday in February? You seem like you're Aquarius, but even though I don't, you know, I know you don't believe in astrology, but
I'm born in October.
Oh, okay. Well, man, we enjoy you so much, man, and I know you're coming on Blog Talk on the 25th, so I'll be on there too.
Hey, brother, I'll tell you what. Keep your ear to the ground and get ready, brother, because everything we've been talking about through the Spirit of the Most High is about to go down. Everything.
Yeah,
and you know what? And it's okay, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that, like yourself, who's as fervent as you, that haven't reached out. But they're just waiting for a few things to happen first. And then they're going to kick in. I'm going to tell you, there's more people out there that's looking at us that we don't even know about.
But
I'm going to tell you, once this thing hits, because they're about to drop this RFID chip. They're dropping it in Europe. They're about to make it mandatory up to the year 2016 for all newborn children in Europe to get this chip. They're bringing it through the health care bill over in the United States, and I'm going to tell you, they're destroying and killing our people. When this mark of the beast go down, there's people, there's a lot of our people going to join together like you wouldn't believe. Because the Bible says Jacob seeketh a sign. The Greek seeketh after wisdom. Jacob don't do anything until they have to. So I want to tell you, brother, I hear the fire in you, but guess what? You're not alone. You want to find out how many people can see the same thing you see because they're about to bring it, brother. And the Most High is going to rally you with people that are near you that you probably wouldn't even know was listening the whole time. And I tell brothers and sisters, you don't have to fear nothing. The Most High have a spirit that's going to gather people, and you're going to have somebody drive right up and get you to the place you need to be with no issue. We are being led by the holy angels, from the divine angels from on high. And I'm going to tell you, they will open up portals also. And I'm going to go into that. I'm going to go into that in Enoch and in the scriptures how, let me tell you, even Christ, when he traveled to many places on his own, he would go through portals. He would go through doors. The earth is not what everyone thinks it is. Okay, there's portals, there's doors all through this earth that take you from one side of the earth to the next.
Right. So when that scripture say it's a scripture to say that there's no ships. You say ain't no ships of Tarsus coming up north. You know, I'm up north,
No, when I say no, Kitsitosh is coming to North America.
Okay.
But let me tell you, there will be spiritual intervention for those who are in Christ. A lot of us through the Spirit, you know, one way or the other, some of us will be sacrificed. Some of us will be martyred. Okay, that's part of it. This is what we signed up to. But there's going to be a remnant of people in this earth that will be moved from one place to the next, that will wake up in the wilderness.
I'm trying to get out of here before the national ID. You got to have everybody 1964 and up got to have a national ID before December 2014. And my mom said something about the church was leaving this summer, something like the end of this year. I'm trying to join with y'all. I don't know. I'm talking about y'all, GLCC. I mean,
I'm part of GLCC.
Right now, I don't have a church at all. I'm part of y'all.
Let me tell you, they're making it mandatory that everyone in the United States must sign up for the Obamacare bill, which is really the mark of the beast. When you sign up, automatically it leads to all your records being turned over to government. You having to comply with all the medical demands. On top of that, a two-way frequency radio, which we know is the RFID chip. And if you don't sign up, they're going to fine people exponentially and even put people in jail. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube and type in "placed in jail for Obamacare."
We seen that. We got a paper that said it's a penalty or you go to jail. Yeah, I'm trying to be gone before all that.
Let's link in. We got your number. Let's make it happen. But make sure you be in this class this coming Sabbath.
Yeah, I'm on Blog Talk. I'm in the academy. I've been in there. Dude, I've been following you ever since last August of last year. Every Blog Talk y'all got, we got to record it. I'm not even an internet person. My mom is an internet person. I just sit back and watch. She get up in the morning and put y'all on Sunday mornings. I listen to y'all news. Everything. I know the enemy. Look, the enemy even be coming through my phone. I be hearing Spaceman through my phone interrupting y'all teachings, brother. So they mocking me, bro. So okay. So anytime they feel like it, they can send a drone. They can send something because I'm in it deep. I'm in it deep up here, bro. I'm by myself. I ain't got nobody else right now.
So we're going to link you up. We're going to link
okay.
you and
my number is 612. If you want to take my number,
no,
I'm
going
to
We wrote it down here. Minnesota, correct? Minnesota.
Yeah,
okay. We're going to link somebody in that area with you. And but keep in contact with Brother Deacon
Xavier.
He'll be able to link you up. And then we'll talk through the week, brother.
All right.
Bless you, brother. Okay, keep doing the work. All right, so let's continue. We have area code 937. Kiri?
Kiari.
Kiari, Salakim. Okay,
yeah.
Brother, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Shalom, everybody. Oh. I got a question here. From what y'all was just talking about earlier, if it is not the Most High's will for me to not be here until Christ comes back, what do I do to get into the bosom of Abraham? Because I don't want to be in hell with no demons or nothing. Please.
Love your brother as you love yourself. And keep the commandments of the Most High.
The statutes and commandments, right?
The law, statutes, and commandments. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins.
Okay, the baptized. I was baptized when I was in the Christian church, when I was under the Christian doctrine. So I'm kind of worried about that.
Well, you don't have to be worried. How old were you?
I was 14. And then I'm going to tell you some of that. When I was 14, I still sinned so much even after that, and I still wasn't even in the truth. But now I came into the truth. My senior year of high school, when I came to the truth, that was when I was kind of coming into that mature mindset. That was when I came into the truth.
And what city and state are you in?
No, well, I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, well, you're not too far. The best thing to do is come down and just be up under an elder and talk and discuss operating with the church and becoming baptized and find out what it means to do so. And just follow the truth, follow Christ to the end.
Oh, I'm trying, man. Believe me, I'm trying. It's, you know, I'm here in America. I'm hearing about, you know, them with the FEMA camps. I'm so scared right now. I mean, y'all don't even know. I'm just,
oh,
no.
Brother, there's no need to be scared, okay? The Most High didn't give us the spirit of fear. The FEMA camps, listen, we must fear the Most High who can destroy body and spirit, not man.
Okay.
Not man. Okay, don't forget, the disciples were placed in prison, and the whole prison was converted. It was to a point where they couldn't even put John in prison. They had to throw him on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Because every place they put him, he would turn the whole place out with the truth. So, if it be the Most High will that the Most High put us someplace where we amongst people, the spirit of, let me tell you, there's no bars. Or there's no physical place that can keep out an angel or a spirit. So the spirit is going to go through those walls. You understand? So we can use the power of the truth to spread it to those that are next to it. So that's fine. And I'm going to tell you, there's been times where they threw the disciples in prison when you read the book of Acts, and an angel came and let them out. So, brother, you are with the highest power from the throne. The last thing you need to fear is FEMA camps. Let me tell you, we wasn't talking about FEMA camps so that people out there can get scared. We put it out there to show everyone that the government is under Satan and that these things were prophesied that this is what they would do against the elect. That's why we brought it out, because it's Bible prophecy, not to scare someone. You understand? So, brother, let me tell you, you are rolling with the best. Ahaya, Asha, Ahaya. You don't have to worry about running. Put on the spirit of Mike. Fear nothing. Let me tell you, have them fear you if you up in the camp. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get up in there, with the same truth you said you've been looking at, you've been reading and researching, you will be able to. You will be able to raise men with the truth of the Most High and make others aware of the truth. So brother, listen, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. As long as your spirit and your soul is content with being right with the Most High, then you need not fear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to, man, because I'll tell you, I mean, I had read through the Apocalypse of Paul, and the Apocalypse of Paul really just woke me up a lot concerning the spiritual realm and stuff, man.
Yeah, now that can scare you.
It scared me.
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, thank you, brother, for supporting the show. Great comment, great question, but yeah, put the armor of the Most High. You know, we don't deal with fear. We deal with faith in the only creator. So, amen. So, let's continue. We have area code 219, 219. You're on the air. Comment or question?
Hey, how's it going, brothers? How y'all doing?
Shalom. Where are you calling from, brother?
Portage, Indiana.
Okay. How are we doing, brother? You're on the air.
All right. Yeah, actually, I was trying to get the location of GOCC near where I'm at. I'm in Portage, so I'm just like an hour away from Chicago, so I guess I'll be looking for a spot somewhere in Chicago.
Are you in, Illinois?
Yeah, Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, I'm close to Chicago.
We have a deacon. We actually have a body up there. So what I'm going to grab your number here online, okay, and then... we're going to be directing you to Deacon Lahab. He's up there, so he'll be able to link up with you. He has a body up there. So give me your name, brother, one more time.
His name is Andre, A-N-D-R-E.
Andre. All right, brother Andre. Yeah. So we'll definitely get some back to you. Give me like about 24 hours. We have brother Deacon Lahab get to you. And speak to you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Bless you, brother.
Bless you.
Shalom. Okay, let me just write this down. Salakim. Okay. All right. I think that is it for the well, we got more. Let me we have area code 111. Area code 111. You may be calling from a Skype. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear.
Hi, this is Rosie.
How are you doing?
First of all, I want to say peace be unto everyone, and my prayers are that everyone enter into the rest of the Most High. Okay, I just wanted to say that every time I get on air, I'm always so nervous, I always say the wrong thing. But anyway, let me just take my time and say this, what I want to say. I want to make a few comments, and then I just, you know, I want to kind of be serious, and I kind of want to end it with a little joke or so. But first of all, I want to say to Brother Ricard and to everyone who's going through this perilous time, through these perilous times, that it's the Most High God's fight. And we have to understand that it's already won. He's won. So all we have to do is walk it through, just walk it through. And it's a war. It's not a party yet. You know, we're not at the wedding feast. So we are at war, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be, you know, uncomfortable. And sometimes you are going to be shaken. But that's all good, because that means the baby is right at the door. The Most High is right out the door. But coming from a woman's perspective, you know, she's about to deliver. And the Most High God said that, you know, wait, because he will deliver us. He will, and we will be delivered. And if you read the back of the book, we are delivered. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that. I also wanted to say that promotion does not come from the east, or the west, or the south. Promotion comes from the north, which means the heavens. The Most High God is the only one who can promote anyone. So for these people who are trying to take the Most High God's glory, you're wasting your freaking time. You know, the Lord says, my sheep will hear my voice. And he also said, let that dead die, let it die. You know, the Most High God, he said he comes to bring division and not peace, not in the way we think he's going to bring it. So this division and this gossiping and slandering and all this confusion that's going on within the camps, it's normal, because the Lord, he is dividing. He is the one who's doing it. You should stay focused and know this. I have a spirit of discernment, and I'm a stay-home mom, and I look at the computer 13, 14 hours a day, and I have checked all these camp guys out. And what I want to say to Brother Ricard is the reason that you're being attacked, or the Go-See Church is being attacked, is because you and Lawyer in particular, along with other people, you guys have set a standard, and it's a very high standard. You're showing everyone that you do not have to curse people out. You do not have to, you know, curse the Gentiles out and belittle the women. You don't even have to curse. You don't even have to scream like I'm doing right now. All you have to do is just bring forth the word, and then those who hear his voice will follow you. It's like we're tired of drinking dirty water, and you have brought clean water, and it's wonderful, and it tastes good. And even though I don't agree with a few things, it doesn't matter. I keep coming back to your well, because I get there. I get clean there. I love it there. I've showed many people, you know, I've invited many people to come and drink, and they love it, and they love it. So all I have to say is that you are loved. You are loved. And, you know, on a lighter note, you know, I like the way you look and the way you dress. And I like those big bubbly eyes. And I like that smooth black skin. And sometimes I wonder, dang, I wonder if he smells as good as he look. And just like I'm wondering that, a lot of people are wondering that. You just you just come off so wonderful, so handsome. And the most thing that's beautiful about you is that you're equipped with the Lord's word. That's what I like about you most of all. And just like I'm digging it, everybody's digging it. And just like I'm noticing it, everybody's noticing it. And it's beautiful. You're a wonderful representation for the Most High God. And I'm proud, even though I'm not a part of Go See Church right now, for whatever reason, I don't want to talk about it. But, hey, I'm listening. I'm listening, and I'm loving it. And so, you know, I'm just kidding with the flirting because I'm not available, but, you know, you're very fine to me. I'm not even going to lie. Sometimes I'll be saying, dang, is that Solomon? Is it, you know, because he says, I'm black but comely. Like, is you Solomon? My nickname for you is Sinbad. You know, my people to call me, what are you doing, Michelle? It says, I'm looking at Sinbad. That's my nickname for you. The only thing missing is the treasure, and that's what I want to ask, and let me get off the line. Is there a treasure hidden in the earth for us? There's got to be a treasure. And I'm going to get off the line, but first I want to tell a little joke because they keep on, you know, you guys keep on saying something about a spider, and I was going to call with a joke regarding a spider. I was sitting on the couch, and it came to me, and this is just something that I want you to, you know, consider, Ricard. I want you to do this after you figure out the riddle. What is a tarantula suited up with his armor on? What does he become? Can you answer the riddle?
Okay, what is that again?
What is a tarantula when he puts on his armor?
What is a tarantula when he puts on his armor? Oh, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a crab. A crab. He becomes a crab.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, God bless. I don't want to take up your time. I'd like you to answer that question, though. I'm going to get off the line. Is there a treasure? Because I keep reading like our forefathers hid something in the land. They hid something for us, and in the last days, we're going to find it. Am I mistaken?
You're not mistaken. In the book of Jasher, it tell you that Joseph, when he went into Egypt and became lord and king over Egypt, he was only not ruling from the throne itself, but he was running all Egypt. He took a large majority of the gold, and he hid it in a certain part of the desert in Egypt. And that particular gold will be revealed back to us when we're in the wilderness. We will actually get that back, and that no man can find it. And a matter of fact, that's why they're looking and doing excavations over there, the Khazars and the Edomites over there, because they know, according to the scrolls, where it's at, but the Most High won't allow them to get it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Ark of the Covenant that the Most High had hide in the same mount in which we received the law, which is the real Mount Sinai, not the one they're publicizing to the public, that when we're in the wilderness, the Most High tells us in with Baruch that we will receive the Ark again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And the Most High tabernacle will be with men. At this time, when that happens, while there's war breaking out, the Most High will be fire around about us. He will come out, his spirit out of the Ark, and protect us all around the wilderness while we're being tried as a people. Linking to Ezekiel 20th chapter. But to answer your question, absolutely. There is physical treasure in the earth that will be given back to us. But what's greater is what Christ had prepared for us when he went to the heavenly tabernacle. When Christ was crucified, he began creating something in the spirit that's going to come to this earth. So that's a whole nother realm of treasure.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just want to give you some encouragement, and thank you because you have encouraged me, and I felt that, you know, you needed some encouraging today. So God bless, and know this, you are definitely loved, at least by me. Okay, goodbye.
Bless your sister.
Thank you, sister.
Amen.
Oh, well,
okay.
She did what she planned on doing. She,
He left us all with a smile, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a blessing. Sometimes we need a smile. So let's continue. We got the cues lit up. So let's continue. Area code 202. Area code 202. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, brothers. How y'all doing?
Shalom, shalom.
All right. I got, two questions and a comment. I got three things to say.
Okay.
First one, I asked this question on Brother X's show on last Sunday, but they didn't know, so they told me to email y'all, but I figured since I got y'all on the phone, I just asked. Okay, look, the angels are still falling. That's my understanding, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Okay, all right, the angels are still falling. The last days will be like the days of Noah. My question was, are they still taking daughters of men?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Now, has the definition of giant changed, or did they, like, I mean, for lack of a better term, did they, like, tweak the formula? I mean, are there still Nephilim being born in the earth?
There's
and how
still
we direct?
Nephilim. There's Nephilim in the earth.
Okay. All right, cool.
A matter of fact, there was a story about a year and a half ago. They killed one serviceman that was working in Afghanistan. But one guy got away and told the story how there was this big thing in the mountain that they seen, and it was a giant that was coming after servicemen that was actually serviced over there in Afghanistan while they was watching the poppy seeds.
Wow.
You understand? And they tried to keep him quiet. And if you don't believe me, go on and maybe you can find him someplace where it says servicemen see giant in Afghanistan.
You know something? I seen I saw it a couple of years ago. It was a picture of these troops in Afghanistan standing next to like a really, really, really large dude. I mean, he had to be like 11 or 12 feet.
What do you think they're doing up under some of these mountains? That's why they was in the mountains before. This is where they actually hide themselves. And a matter of fact, they direct mankind from there. A lot of these children are given to them for sacrifice and food. We don't realize this because we are compartmentalized and separated away in these cities. These cities were made as an actual way of keeping us out of reality. We haven't even seen the world. We don't know what's going on in all these rural areas where these mountains are and where they have all these secret testing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, bro, it's way beyond what people would imagine or understand. 100%. 100%, brother. There's stuff washing up right now off the shores that's part people, part animals, and they don't know what it is. We are in the same times, brother, and if Christ didn't cut the time short, like it says in Matthew 24 and 22, none of us would be saved.
Okay.
Nephilim are living in this earth. And when the Christ says, as in the days of Noah, everything in the days of Noah is what we are experiencing now. Everything, even every part of what we read of the giants coming down, the God dealing with women, that's all happening as we speak.
All right, cool. That's a segue to my next question. How close am I supposed to pay attention to, like, personal dreams or something like that? The reason I'm asking, man, about a year and a half ago, I had a dream, you know, I was seeing tornadoes, okay? I mean, it was vivid. I felt the wind and all that stuff. It just so happens that dream that I had last year is like three tornadoes that I saw coming down the river. And some beings on this river, they were riding like, and don't laugh, man, they were riding like jet skis. And they carried the three tornadoes up in the heavens, up in the sky. Okay, well, night before last, I had a similar dream, not to get into all the details about it, but it ended up with, you know, like when you're at a bowling alley and you see the pins, how they're lined up. I'm seeing, like, tornadoes coming towards me, like, in another river, but they were lined up. It was about maybe eight of them, like bowling pins. Is that supposed to mean something? Am I supposed to pay attention to dreams? Because after I woke up from that, I stayed in my ceiling fan for, like, an hour straight. You know, my heart was racing and all that stuff, man. So.
Well, brother, I'm not an interpreter of dreams. I can give some of my opinion, but that would be my opinion, so I would rather leave that there.
Okay.
I'll say tell you in the book of Joel that in the last days that our people will see visions and dream dreams. So the Most High is probably showing you that something is coming, that something is on the horizon. You understand?
Okay.
And he usually send that information through dreams that something is coming. But guess what? I didn't need your dream to know that something is coming. You understand? And I don't need your dream to know that they are preparing for something big.
Okay.
You understand? And that the storms are on their way, so.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Just stay prayed up and take that as a message from the Most High as a personal spiritual way of him warning you first so that you can clean house and get things together for yourself, knowing that Christ will soon return.
Okay.
Hello? I'm sorry. Repeat the last statement, brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I just got one more thing, man. The Academy, part 5. I'm having a hard time. I sent the email. I can't download it. The password that was given to me, it's not taken. And I don't know if it, you know, when y'all resent it, is it still on that 48-hour availability? In other words, I wasn't able to download it like I wanted, like I did all the other lessons.
Well, don't worry about it. Just send another email because that's the only administrative part. I really don't handle that. But I'll tell you what, just send an email and say that you spoke with me on the radio, because what we do is we let it become available on our website now, not on the Ustream anymore. So just send an email and we'll make it available for you. It's that simple.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay, so all right, brother. Okay, let's continue. We have area code 484-484. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're
hi, Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
How you doing? Glad to hear Elder Rashal is back. We missed you. I just wanted to ask you, remember the last time when I was talking to you about I needed to fellowship with someone and we got disconnected and you said you had a family that would connect with me?
Yes, I remember.
And I never got a chance to get that information. I did email a couple times. So I know you guys are very busy and so forth and so on. So anyway, do you want to take down my email address? Anybody wants to contact me as well on this show? It's MonaRecruitingCenter@yahoo.com.
Okay. And sister, what city and state you're in again? I'm sorry.
I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm a Pennsylvania Yankee.
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
I spoke with her. I spoke with her family.
Okay. And we do have a body in PA. What part of Pennsylvania?
I'm in the Montgomery County, an hour away from Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah, we have some people in Philadelphia. We have people in I'll grab your number, and, you know, I'll give you a call, you know, tomorrow. And,
I remember talking to you, Gabar. Remember, I was talking to you also, and you said you tried to get in contact with someone in Connecticut, and unfortunately, he never responded. He was in the service or something.
Yes, okay, I remember now.
Yeah,
okay.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Oh, I also wanted to, what was I getting ready to say? The person that was fearing about the FEMA camps, I've been in a worse situation. I've been in 5 car accidents. I was on the edge of the sewer, and I was happened to bring out the same story with Brother Ramar, and some kind of force pulled me up out of the sewer. I cried upon Ahaya, and he pulled me out. So you're thinking being in the prison is going to be worse. No, I was in a halfway down the sewer, and I just thought I would never get out of it, but I didn't have anybody else to come around and pull me out. There was a couple people that saw me, but they did not attempt to come over to help me. So the only person I had to ask was Ahaya, and Ahaya pulled me out. And just to let you know, wherever you are, anywhere in the place, and you feel that you're not going to be able to get out anywhere, all you have to do is just call upon Ahaya, and he'll pull you out. And that's what I just wanted to finish that and let you know that peace and love is the main thing that's going to keep you together. And we all have to stay together and love one another and not dispute, okay?
Amen. Amen, sister. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the show. Okay, let's continue. We have area code 912. 912, you're on the air.
Shalom, brothers. How are you?
Shalom, sister. How are we doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Georgia.
Okay, South Hines, Georgia.
Area.
Welcome, mm-hmm. sister. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a couple comments. My first one is Revelations 12 and 10 reminds us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So mm-hmm. accusations are going to come. And that's a good thing because it lets us know that we're on the right path, that we're, you know, that we're doing right, that we're doing the right thing. Also, the scripture tells us that we will know them by the fruits that they bear. I appreciate that, you know, you guys have the resources to, you know, say names and, you know, give out websites of these people who are, you know, come against the GLCC, but you don't. And I personally appreciate that, and that says a lot about your integrity. I just appreciate that, and I wanted to tell you guys thank you for that because it, you know, you're not being messy and you're just putting facts out there as opposed to going tick for tack and back and forth. And I just appreciate that. Unfortunately, you know, Isaiah 54 and 17 talks about, what is it, I'm sorry, hold on 1 second.
Sure.
You know, we bring condemnation to ourselves when we talk about God's elect, when we go against the Most High, when we go against his chosen people, we're speaking death to ourselves. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, some of us carry some of the Bible with us, but not all of it. And mm-hmm. so I just wanted to tell you guys personally, I appreciate you. I appreciate all you guys do, the time that you put in. You guys go really hard. And just thank you. Just thank you.
Bless you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for supporting.
And the scripture that she went over, let me read the verse. No weapon, Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Most High, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Most High.
Well, amen.
There's not much I can say on that, but so be it.
Amen. Amen. So let's continue. We have area code 318. You're on the air.
Yes. I was calling on to ask the same question about the vision that you have when you sleep. Is it true that you can come into the truth like that?
What were you saying?
Repeat the question, brother. I'm sorry. Repeat the question.
It's about the visions when you sleep. You know, people call them dreams, but, you know, it's a vision. Can you come into the truth like that?
I think the brother said about having visions when you're dreaming. Can the Most High bring you into the truth using dreams? And you know, waking you up to who you are through dreams. I think that's the question.
Yeah.
The Most High has always communicated with us, even before we knew the truth through our dreams. It tell you upon our bed, we feel the instructions in it. So is that a gate that the Most High uses? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, because, you know, I always had a desire to learn the Bible, and I used to read it before I had that vision. But a lot of things used to go over my head, but
for some strange reason, I always knew that we was the Jews and stuff like that, but I couldn't just put my finger on it in the book at that time. But when I was searching for the truth so hard, I had that vision of, like, an image of a man. You know, he had hair all over his head, and he was blocking out the sun. And in the vision, my hands was over my eyes, and I was afraid to look at him. But I never seen his face. It was just a tall image. You know, I tried to look closer. I tried to look over him and look past him, but I couldn't do it because his image was that great. And I called out, and I said, "Are you Jesus?" I kept asking, "Who are you? Who are you?" But he never responded. And in the dream, I was like, "Are you Jesus?" And then I woke up after that. So I started doing my research. I tried to, you know, see his face and seek his word, his truth. And I, first place I started was Africa, like, who am I? Where am I from? And my first research I did on Africa, but I couldn't just really find nothing. But then all of a sudden, out the blue, this Hebrew stuff just started coming to me. It started hitting me, you know, out of nowhere. So that's how I came into the truth of the Hebrews and the Israelites and stuff like that. It really woke me up, you know,
mm-hmm.
from that, you know, by me having that vision while I was asleep, you know.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's prophesied that a young man will have dreams and visions and things of that nature. And that's what's happening. People are just waking up, and you're having a withdrawal, a spiritual awakening, and you don't know how, your flesh does not know how to cohabitate with righteousness. So you just go through a withdrawal, and then you don't know what to do to yourself, you know, do with yourself. What you got to get is grounded with the scriptures. Learn those commandments. Learn the foundation. Learn Christ, and link up with like-minded people. You will shake those weird feelings. It's just you waking up now. You've been asleep for so long. Now you realize, wait a minute, I've been living in the matrix.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been in the truth for like 5-6 years now. But it was a while back when that happened, and when it did, I mean, all this stuff just started coming to me out of the blue, because I used to have, like, nightmares where it felt like I was being attacked and I was calling on the name of Jesus Christ. But, you know, but that vision there, yeah, it really did it for me. It really woke me up to the real, real truth, you know.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, keep doing the good work. What city and state you're in?
From Louisiana.
Louisiana, okay, brother. We'll keep doing. We'll send an email to, you know, the Gathering of Christ Church email. And if you want to link up with brothers in that area, we do have brothers in that area. We can link you up, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bless you, brother.
Shalom.
Okay. I think that's Q. And actually, that was the last call. So, Elder, any last words?
I got a song called Brotherly Love. I want everybody to hear it.
Okay.
Don't let me in. Oh, well, he said I got to wait, so I got to wait.
So
let us finish and put it out right.
Okay.
But we did a song called Brotherly Love, and it's significant because it talks about reconciliation. That, and the bottom line is we should always leave room for reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We never want to hurt someone to the point of breach, in which there's no reconciliation. There's no way we could
mm-hmm.
ever come back together again. Because if we ever get there, then Christ is void.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, the song says it, and I'm sure they're going to hear it soon.
Well, amen, amen. And you know, it's an old saying, whoever burn bridges, you know, and it's, you gotta, absolutely, you can't go up to, you know, and it's amazing when there's so much strife, and we all know what's going to happen within the word, because Christ said, I came to bring the vision, But it should not be all these bickering over the word. I mean, that's you know, that's that's defeating the purpose. You know, you got more enemies now than when you were in the world. You're supposed to live and you have more division and arguments and backbiting with people that are supposed to be in the world as well. How is that logical? But you know what? The Most High shifting Israel. You know, that's part of the prophecy. So we have to just play the game, go through the motions. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Elder, you know, like always, it's always a pleasure. You know, I know you've been busy. There's a lot of stuff that we've been holding on the back burner. We have to move forward and don't deal with these little stumbling blocks or these issues that you know, sidetrack us. But you know, we got. I can't wait for that lesson you're gonna bring out this weekend. This is gonna be powerful stuff. I know you've been talking about it for a long time, and you've been waiting to bring it out. So I can't wait for this weekend.
Oh yeah, and we definitely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, we're gonna talk tomorrow.
Okay, all right, Elder. So, Brother Gaja, I know you aren't listening there. Any last words, brother?
You know, just bless. You understand me, and just keep the faith. Keep pushing. Sometimes it's hard. Just keep going, man. You get me? And and a lighter note as well. I have been invited to a Sunday church to come preach as a guest bishop. So we're gonna we're gonna hear about that. We're gonna hear about that.
All right, bring fire, Benjamin, bring fire.
Hey, now I'm gonna record that, you get me. I don't think they know what they're up against, what they're up for. I'm honorary guest this coming Sunday.
Well, hope you stay as an honorary guest after what you were about to bring. So definitely bring the Most High with you.
All right, man. Look after yourselves, everybody, man. We see Most High willing coming Sabbath, all right?
Amen.
Bless
you.
Shalom.
And it came to pass after 7 days I dreamed a dream by night, and lo, there rose a wind from the sea, that it moved all the waves thereof. And I beheld, and lo, that man waxed strong with the dows of the heavens. And when he turned his countenance to look, all things trembled that were seen under him. And whensoever the voice went out of his mouth, all they burned that heard his voice, like as the earth faileth when it slayeth the fire.